Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNE. Okay.
Mary Knoll Priest's Sisters, Brothers, Lay Men and Women are doing their part to change the world. Sister Mary Ellen Manns works in Sudan.
I just love working with children, and the kids love me. To hear them laugh and play, it's helping them to grow. And I keep telling them that, you know, you go to school so that you grow in all the ways God wants you to grow. I'm Mary Knoll's sister, Mary Ellen Manns. I guess I'm doing my part to change the world.
Mary Knoll and you can change the world. To get a subscription to Mary Knoll Magazine, in English or Spanish, or to find out how you can help, call us. 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And check out our website, www.maryknoll.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello? Those things on the side of your head aren't turnips?
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
You're listening to AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I discern? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I discern? Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created. yet many are denied the completion.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I want to start with a shout out. Metro Rocks. Metro High School Rocks, congratulations to Metro. They made it to district, and they won their game last night. They beat out a Valley Catholic. Yes, they did. I want to send a shout-out to Coach Patrick Brown, players Ryan Brown, Jeremy, Travion, Sharon, Andrew, Daryl, Marcus, Anthony, Aaron, Joshua, and Jordan. Oh, you all rocked. You all rocked. Congratulations. Game well played. It was so much fun. They were so good. It was a really, really good game. Metro Rocks. That's all I can say. Metro Rocks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We have so much stuff to talk about. Where do we begin? Where do we begin? I think that there's a very important issue looming out there. A very important issue. and I think it's one that deserves our full consideration. I think it's one that deserves our full time, deserves our full consideration, and we need to talk about this. There is an Ohio senator by the name of Robert Hagan. a Republican senator out of Ohio. And this is a piece of legislation that is to counter one introduced by State Representative Ron Hood, a Republican out of Asheville. Democrat Robert Hagan. Is introduced a piece of legislation to counter a piece of legislation introduced by a Republican. And again, I think that we really need to think about this. It's been brought to my attention, and upon reflection, it's worthy of at least an hour or two conversation. You see, the Republican Ron Hood has introduced a piece of legislation aimed at banning gay adoption. This is America. You can introduce a piece of legislation. This is America. You can introduce it. And the state representative Ron Hood, you know, what are the odds that his name has a hood in it? He's introducing legislation to ban gay adoptions.
And if that piece of legislation, well, this is America and he can introduce it, if that piece of legislation is worthy of discussion, is credible enough to have that discussion in 2006, then we need to have a discussion about this other piece of legislation introduced by Robert Hagan. Because, you see, Robert Hagan has said that credible research shows that adopted children raised in Republican homes are more at risk for developing emotional problems, social stigmas, inflated egos, and an alarming lack of tolerance for others they deem different than themselves, and an air of overconfidence to mask their insecurities. You see, Hood's legislation would prefer that 22,000 Ohio children languish in foster care rather than be adopted or fostered by gay parents. And I think, you know, let's talk about this. Should children be adopted by Republicans? Aren't they going to grow up to be intolerant? Aren't they? I mean, there's credible research. There's justice. I submit to you that there's just as much credible document. I submit to you that there's more credible documentation out there about the harm, the so-called harm. You hear my asterisks? You hear my little quote? Not my asterisks, my little quotation marks. Evidence out there. Isn't that something? That if we're going to do it for one, let's do it for all of them. And it's maybe a message to everyone that maybe it's a message to everyone that you can never sit down on a fight. You need to know that there will always be intolerance out there. In the year 2006, somebody is introducing legislation that a lot of folks thought was killed off years and years ago. But no, it's back. It's back. And here's the thing. I submit to you. Maybe this is the rule that we need to have. Nobody can introduce any piece of legislation about what anybody can do with somebody else's child unless they've introduced legislation to help children financially. Financially, in the pocket. Because I'm not interested in your so-called values. I'm not interested in your moralizing at me. Show me where you've introduced and passed legislation where children financially are in a better situation than they were before you got there. Because after all, there are very few problems with children that we can't fix with money. And let me explain. If mom and daddy have a good job, and baby has some issues, then mom and daddy can put the baby where the baby can get help. If mom and daddy have a good job, then mom and daddy have the time and the ability to focus on the school district. If mom and daddy have a good job, if baby gets sick, they can take care of him. Baby's needs can be met. So if you haven't focused on, if you haven't passed legislation, if you haven't introduced anything to help a baby out financially, you can't introduce any bill to deal with the morality of it because you've got no morals. Am I making myself clear? If you haven't introduced, as a legislator, if you haven't introduced and gotten legislation passed that puts babies in a better position financially than they were before you got there, then you have no morals. You have no morals. Because the bottom line is that you got to have money in order to make it. Oh, there are glitches in the matrix. Oh, yeah, there are glitches, but that's not proof. Is Because if you look at the legislative record of Ron Hood, who introduced this piece of hateful legislation, if you look at it, he's been in the House for 10 years. And their mamas and daddies still are working for less than minimum wage. What have you done to help all children financially? You haven't done squat. You haven't done squat. So let's introduce the legislation. Let's rock and roll. Let's lock and load. Let's introduce the legislation that credible studies have shown that children that are adopted by Republicans are harmed emotionally. And no Republican should be allowed to adopt. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, you can find me on the web at Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Can I just share something with you? And I don't have the article in front of me, and I'm so upset. So I'm doing this from memory. I only had a second to read this article, and now I can't find it. There was a whole litany of people. This is a total change here. There's a whole litany of people who were not invited to the funeral of Coretta Scott King. It wasn't just, and Harry Belafonte was the one that was disinvited. But there was a whole lot of people that were black folks that were non-invited. Whole lot of black folks who did not speak. And the most chilling thing that I found out, folks, oh, man, I can't find the article. I want it to be specific. This is the most amazing story. You know, think about it. The only black person that spoke was Reverend Lowry. Andrew Young was only allowed to introduce Bernice King. You know who was allowed to speak? This is just shocking. Shocking. The head of the FBI was allowed to speak at Martin Luther King's funeral. You know, the FBI, the one that spied on her daddy. She let them speak. And there were dozens and dozens of black folks that were there with her father and mother. And none of them got to speak. And Harry Belafonte was disinvited. Ain't that something? Ooh, Jesus, ain't that something? My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We're going to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk some more. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
Eastbound 55 at Imperial, Maine, and Lindbergh, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way to 270 looks good. Eastbound 40 between Chesterfield Parkway and Chesterfield, look for no problems there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Big Bend is on the move. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way to New Halls Ferry. Everything looks good there as well. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Spady Road, look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 from 94 to 5th Street, look for an accident. It's off the roadway, but you may see some delays. Westbound 5570 from Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound 64 at 19th and the Poplar Street Bridge, everything's on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing is on the move. And northbound Route 3 from Monsanto to Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. Adelaide at 70, look for those traffic lights not to be working. There's stop signs in place, so you treat it as a four-way stop. Bryan Road at Fizey, look for an overturned vehicle. Southbound lanes are blocked at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Switch to State Farm Insurance, and your great driving record could get you great discounts. Talk to Bob Bowden in Bridgeton, Missouri today and get your reward here and now. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy, high around 70 today. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers. Even a thunderstorm is possible in the afternoons. The high should be in the mid-70s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a low in the lower 40s. And on Thursday, partly cloudy, much cooler, high only in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 36 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 34 with the wind chill outside being 30. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Then, stay tuned for Dave Linehan.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
There is a drum that beats steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it high and know the sound of truth. In every soul, there is a memory, a standing tall. The proudest.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hello, Liz. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
You said the right words just a while ago. If they don't pass these laws, the congressmen up in Washington, D.C. and in Missouri, they pass all kind of laws to take money away from you. They got cameras on the street where they can see you driving too fast or doing something wrong, take money away from you, but they never pass a minimum wage law to give you money to help take care of this gas bill, this electric bill, this water bill, and pay rent and take care of your family. They don't pass laws for that. And this administration is so worse. Everything we gained in the last 30 years, they've taken it away from us. Not giving us nothing, not helping us. I don't want them giving me nothing. Just help me get through to take care of my family. That's all I want. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Car phone.
Good morning, Liz.
Steve, good morning.
You know, on this, like, gay adoption.
Yes.
Abortion. These are all wedge issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to use these wedge issues to divert us from the fact about this administration.
Actually, you know what? I don't think it's that at all. I don't think it's that. I don't think that's the priority. You know what the wedge issues are for? The wedge issues are for the Republican Party to put an issue out there to agitate their base, to get their base to the voting pools, booths. That's what this is about. That's what it's about.
Well, you know, too, I'm wondering what happened to the Jack Abramoff story, the Scooter Libby story, where it looks like he might get off there.
Scooter Libby I'm telling you, these people are born without gall. I mean, these people, they're born with an excess of gall. The gall gene is just working overtime. Scooter Libby has the unmitigated gall to challenge his indictment based on the fact that it was unconstitutional for him to have been arrested by the current prosecutor because the prosecutor wasn't appointed by Congress. Ain't that some stuff? The most secretive guy in the world, now all of a sudden he wants the rules followed.
Well, I'll tell you what else is some stuff is this time delay. Everybody says, oh, time delay is gone. The time delay is now on the Appropriations Committee.
Jesus.
The same committee that's responsible for investigating his crimes.
Isn't that something?
You know, it's like putting Al Capone in charge of the IRS.
There you go. There you go. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
I'm rather well. Harry Belafonte was disinvited because he called Boy George a terrorist.
That is correct. Well, you know what George Bush's new name is? It's no longer W. You know what it is?
What?
It is Dubaya.
I hope the baby girl of Dr. King is not being manipulated.
She's not being manipulated. She's being who she is.
Oh, okay.
She's being who she, which is scarier. I would rather.
She's getting ready to discover something most interesting.
She's being who she is. She is being who she
that's
is.
That's all she can be.
And that's the saddest part about this. Think of all the black folks. They had the head of the FBI speak at her daddy's funeral, the man who spied on your daddy, spread those lies about your daddy and your mama's marriage, was in their bedroom.
Isn't that
and you
talk?
Had him speaking at your mama's funeral.
I don't appreciate appreciate it.
Thank you so much. All right now, 454-0400 is my phone number. Linda.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I just enjoy your program so much. I got in my car late, and I only heard a portion of why Harry Belafonte was disinvited.
I don't know what the specifics of it. We hope to have Harry on the show soon here. We're going to ask him that question, but I don't know. We can only speculate, and the speculation is because of what he says about George W. Bush.
Okay.
And how do you not get, what do they call that, star billing at a black event? He should have been allowed to speak all the way. He should have been the only one speaking at a black funeral.
He should have done a eulogy.
That's what I'm talking about. And remember, Harry Belafonte, and this is the thing that is so hurtful, when Martin Luther King was murdered, mm-hmm. Harry Belafonte was widely known and widely reported that Harry Belafonte financially took care of the King family after the father was murdered.
Well, you know, it's all about money and being popular now, so we need to be careful of what we get ourselves into. Thank you, and keep educating us because we really need it.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Orlando.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Can barely hear you.
I said good morning.
Good morning.
I'm on the cell phone. Can you hear me now?
Better.
I feel like a commercial. Anyway, I just wanted to say I love you. I listen to your show all the time. I was wondering if you had a chance to see Tavis Smiley last night.
No, I had to go to the men's district tournament for basketball to watch Metro win. So that's where I was.
Okay, well, you know, it's just something I just heard about like yesterday or whatever. And, you know, I really admire Tavis, and I admire his sincere. I believe he's sincere about it, but I just honestly think that there is nothing any different than what you have been saying to us all along. You know, we just get caught up in celebrityship and, you know, somebody that's popular or whatever. I really believe that people, period, want these things that he has on his covenant, but people seem to forget that it's programs and certain things that happened with the government that was like slowly taken away from us. And I think it's like our leadership has failed us. I mean, I think the people know what they want, but I think it's like the leadership has failed us. And there was a lot of people that were like up on the stage that I just personally had problems with.
Like who?
Well, I don't really want to get into who.
Oh, no, but I mean, share that with us, because I would be curious to know, because I don't know all the people that were up on the panel.
Okay, it's a situation. It's just certain situations that's been going on in the city, and as far as our local government. Okay, we had the situation with the highway shutdown,
mm-hmm.
and there was money given, and it was money that was supposed to have been used for making vocational schools for black folks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whatever happened with that money.
Okay, so be open with us. Come on, talk to us. Who was up there that shouldn't have been up there?
Well, I don't want to do that. I'm just saying.
But see, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge, Orlando. Here is the challenge. The challenge is that we have to apprise people of who's working for us and who's working against us.
Right.
And we have to have that discussion. But I mean, if you're not comfortable doing that, that's fine. But I sure would like to know.
Okay, well, I was just going to say it was people there that I really didn't think should have been there. It's certain things that happened, like with the school, you know, with the money that for the superintendent or whatever, that one that was like making $5 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got folks that supposed to represent us.
Who was up there that was problematic for the schools?
I'm just saying it's folks that were supposed to represent us.
All right.
The black bus or whatever.
All right.
And they took money.
Okay, you're talking, I need specifics, but I feel you. All right?
Okay.
All right, Orlando.
I would like to, you know what, I would like to just talk to you, Ms. Brown, because I have a lot of respect for you, and I don't really want to get into, you know, pointing the finger at folks.
All right, well, see.
Because I really don't know the whole story, why things happen the way they do.
Okay, and I got to roll, Orlando, but thank you, okay?
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. We got to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Get up. Get up. Get to me.
Taking off my shoes. Jumping in the water. wash away these blues down into the ocean. Current takes hold. Words already been spoken. Tales already been told. Hearts already been broken. Wounds already been healed. Do you want to be loved? Do you want to be loved for real? Do you want to be loved?
My name is Cheryl.
Hi, my name is Doug.
And we are the hosts of the new Crime Time Live talk show on WGNU.
Do you have a question that you've been dying to ask a private investigator?
We will take your questions and discuss topics that you won't want to miss every Monday night at 10.
Need to get a background check?
How do you protect yourself when looking for Mr. and Mrs. Wright?
Can't find someone that owes you money?
Find out how on Crime Time Live, Monday nights at 10.
Hey WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray of Higher Ground. I'm moving from the 1 to 2 p.m. slot to the 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Monday through Friday slot on Radio Free St. Louis AM 920 WGNU. I will talk to you then.
The Man Art Gallery presents an installation exhibit, Xenomorphosis, starting on Friday, March 3rd at 7 p.m. This free exhibit will display the work of Las Vegas artists Jorge Catone and K.D. Matheson. This collaboration runs through March 25th. To find out more, call 314-771-8230. Something for you from WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and my number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I was there yesterday, and I don't mind saying who was up there that I remember since I'm a transplant after 9/11 here in St. Louis, but there was Chief George was up there. A rather stocky round man from the Board of Education was there taunting the new superintendent, which disgusted me. And Jackie Joyner.
Was this a really tall, really big guy?
Big guy, brown skin, and he's saying we got an excellent superintendent, and I knew that wasn't true. And
now, is he like overweight big guy?
Yes.
Okay, you know who he is?
No.
He is the new guy that is, and I don't know of any YMCA in the country that has. He's the head of the YMCA.
Oh.
At the Monsanto Y. Craig Williams brought him with him. Has brought him with him everywhere that he's gone.
Oh.
He got him a gig as the head of the Monsanto Y. Mm. Now, what's the inspiration there?
I couldn't tell.
I'm just saying, as the head of the Y, that guy is the head of a YMCA. That's Craig Williams' friend.
Okay.
That's his friend.
And the other thing that happened, your name came up 3 or 4 times there about as a resource here if he was coming. And I had emailed him on Saturday giving him your name since you all are both in the same media. And 2 or 3 people mentioned you. And then people were asking about how do we resolve these problems when the leader, which was a jab at the fat guy, the YMCA, if they won't listen to parents and mm-hmm. they close parents out of meeting, and the 2 policemen spoke about what's going on. African American police spoke about the problems with the police department, and it was a very interesting meeting. And I Tavis Smiley took your name down, so he probably will contact you. But other than that, it was a very interesting meeting, and people, they gave out 200 free copies of the covenant, and the rest of the people had to pay $12 for it. But I think it went pretty good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Dolores, good morning.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Did you happen to see C-SPAN? This Saturday, the State of Black, when they had all the panels on there.
I did not. I did not.
That was so good.
I've been told it was outstanding.
And Farrakhan laid it out as usual. But Harold Belafonte was on there.
I know that.
And he was good, Liz.
Please
he
turn
did not back down.
Dolores, 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 please turn your radio down.
Oh, oh my God, wait a minute. I just walked in the door. I forgot. He did not back down on anything he said.
Of course he's done. He's a man's man. He is a man's man.
He I didn't know that he had paid for the entire amount of the Martin Luther King funeral until Saturday.
He paid for it?
He paid out of his pocket for his funeral.
Now, you're talking about for Martin Luther King's funeral.
Huh?
For Martin Luther King's funeral.
Yeah, he paid for his funeral.
Wow.
That came out Saturday.
Wow.
But who needs to be held accountable for that man not being there at that funeral should have been his kids.
Yep. Oh, the buck stops with the babies.
That's right.
The buck stops
they
with the babies.
They should not have allowed him.
But Dolores, you also have to understand, it's not simply that Harry Belafonte didn't have a seat of honor at the funeral of Coretta Scott King, but it's also who the children invited to speak. George W. Bush and the head of the FBI. The head of the people that spied on her mama and her daddy, who put microphones in their bedroom and then spread lies about them in order to break up the marriage of the mother and the father. And you had the head of the FBI speaking at your mama's funeral. Shame!
That's shame.
Shame!
I saw the funeral, and when I saw George Bush there, I said,
you didn't say that. I know what you said. I know what you said.
And he should have felt like a nut because Reverend Laurie did not bite his tongue. And it's ironic.
The only person, you know, what was interesting to me was watching the face of his wife. That was the most animated I've ever seen. Laura Bush looked like she wanted to kick somebody's behind.
Well,
she really looked like she wanted to. And George Bush just looked like, what.
You should have seen his face when they introduced Bill Clinton. And they gave him such a rousing long ovation.
And they shouldn't have given him. And they shouldn't
team up. You could barely hear anybody.
They shouldn't have clapped for Bill Clinton at all.
Oh, no, no.
Okay, and I got to roll. Got to roll. Okay. But thanks, Dolores. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hotel, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Did Harry Belafonte say anything that wasn't true about Mr. George Bush?
Let me think. No.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
The King family should embrace him.
Well, the King family, what remains of the King family are the children, because there are no grandchildren. None of them are married. So it's the babies. It is absolutely the babies. And John Lewis, although I'm not crazy about Representative John Lewis, he was there with King. Al Sharpton was not asked to speak. None of those folks were. None of those folks were.
We have a terrible habit of shunning away people that speak the truth.
No, we don't. The habit of the community of African descent is to embrace people that speak the truth. That's the habit. What we saw was an anomaly. No, because it was nothing but black folks that didn't clap when Bush was sitting there. It was nothing but black folks that stood up in the United States Congress demanding that a record be kept after the 2004. It was nothing but black folks. The first person to talk about impeachment for George W. Bush, nothing but black folks.
That's true.
No, our history is that we do. Now, there are anomalies, and what we witnessed at the funeral of Coretta Scott King was an anomaly. And so, unfortunately, the whole world got to see that anomaly. But I'm not going to judge the honorable history of an entire race of people by the wrong actions of those three, four children.
Yeah, that's true. Harry Belafonte should have been there.
That's what I'm talking about.
He should have been there. He should have been invited.
He should have spoken.
He should have been invited before George Bush. George Bush should never have walked through the door.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
You were speaking to one of your, I think, Mr. Brown. He didn't want to call names, but I said to you, Mr. Brown, you have to pull the cover off of these people who so-called to be leaders and stop keeping them warm. Expose them to the element. Now, I was over there on the 40 shutdown. I got up early that morning, and we went over there to close down. I shut down Highway 40. Now, Ed Vickers was wishy-washing through back with blackface.
Mm-hmm.
I went to lay down and shut the highway down. When I knowed in the thing, I was praying to Jesus.
I wasn't there. You know how mad I was about the kneel down. You know I wasn't there. You know how I was cussing on the air about the kneel down. Come on.
People got so angry. And then again, white community, how are we going to get to the ambulance? How are ambulance going to get down Highway 40 at the barn? I wouldn't give a dang. How are you going to get to Highway 40 in 4 years with billions of dollars being spent to refurbish Highway 40? Mm-hmm. And all we were going to have it was an hour. Now they're going to shut it down for 3 or 4 years to get to Barnes Hospital. I was so angry. It was ridiculous over there on that interstate. I could have stayed home and prayed.
I did not go. I wasn't about to get on
my
knees.
Well, I was over there.
All right.
But another thing I want to bring to the attention to you, Miss Brown. Did you see yesterday's paper on HIV?
I did not.
HIV broke in St. Charles. This little white girl spread it AIDS throughout the community, all the way down to the boondocks, trying to find out who had sex with this girl.
Okay, you got to make your point, Max.
Anyway, the media went to the city of St. Louis Health Department to write this story, to buy an ad. They bought an ad from the Post. The real face of AIDS in this ad is 10 black people. I got so mad I called the Health Department. I called the Post Dispatch. And I asked them, do you have an automobile that will make a trip to St. Charles and write the real story where the AIDS started last week? But when they wrote about it, they put 10 black faces in the Post and said, this is the real face of AIDS. I was so mad I know it did.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Jeannie.
Hi, how you doing? I'm enjoying your show. I'm going to name those panelists. I thought about you, Dee, and Dolores. Dolores took it off my mouth. I was going to call on that because she saw it, and I had a cousin to see it. And the panels that were on there was Malia. I might be pronouncing them wrong, but the forum that happened in Houston on live C-SPAN, and I'm just doing a comparison contrast because someone said they had went to the one last night at Kelly Temple. Some of the guests were like Julianne, her last name is M-A-L-V.
Malvo.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And Harriet Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Milliner. Run them down real quick. Eddie Clough. Shiloh Lynch. Kamala Harris. And the lady that was the Naheem Akbar. And Michelle Martin was the host of the National Public Radio. And then they had Ringo. They had the, Belafonte was on there. And Dolores, it was right. And it was supposed to air again on Monday, which was last night. And I have a cousin that's retired. She watched C-SPAN. It didn't even re-air again.
Oh, it did. I did. A friend of mine was watching it last night.
Did it re-air?
It re-aired last night.
Oh, okay, because Bush was on there around 5 or 6, and I had to go to work.
Okay.
So I'm just saying you're doing a comparison, kind of bringing up people, all the foreigners, talents in to St. Louis. You know what I'm talking about, comparison contract.
Right.
Well, was there last night at Trinity Temple on Trinity.
Yeah.
Compared to Houston, it's always something when it hits St. Louis. It's just like it changes. You understand what I'm saying?
And I got
I'm not talking right.
Okay, I know. I feel you, Jeannie. I feel you. Thanks for your call.
All right, enjoy your show.
All right, thank you. Gonna take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. So, what did you do last night?
So, we walked down the street. Then we've been drinking them ever since, and it's been great. Went to the Cast Meow on balcony, throw bees. It was awesome.
Well, if
awesome.
You haven't figured it out by now, she is in New Orleans, and that's about the only place that you can do that on this last day of Mardi Gras. The celebration is special this time around. It's just 6 months since Hurricane Katrina, and we're live with ABC's Alex Stone on Bourbon Street.
Daria, it's Fat Tuesday, full day of partying, and then Lent begins tonight, and the city is expected to get very quiet at that point. During the last few days of partying, some have said this city was not ready for Mardi Gras. This man out partying says, yeah, it is.
Like, only the hardcore revelers are out past 4 a.m., and I think it's good because we're all peaceful.
There are a number of parades on tap today and a whole lot of partying, Daria.
ABC's Alex Stone in New Orleans, and he'll be at every one of those parties. The White House is digging in, so are lawmakers who are opposed to a deal to give control of 6 U.S. ports to an Arab-owned company, and now you can add one more group to the mix.
Coast Guard examiners said weeks ago that because of gaps in the intelligence, they couldn't tell if the Arab company in the ports deal might support terrorist operations. Now the Coast Guard says that was an early analysis taken out of context. But the Republican chairwoman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee says she's more convinced than ever there was a rush to judgment to make the deal.
That's ABC's Steve Taylor in Washington. President Bush is shifting his focus today to foreign policy. He's about to meet with the Italian prime minister, and later on today he leaves on a trip for India and for Pakistan. Saddam Hussein's trial is on again today, and of course that means the theatrics are on as well. Here's ABC's Haider Hamza.
The chief lawyer of the defense team and his colleague walked out of the courtroom shortly after the session started, protesting the rejection of an earlier request the attorney submitted asking for the removal of the chief judge.
This is ABC News.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
Beer. It's not just for breakfast anymore. You heard right. It's a new brew called Stampede. The maker says the vitamins and minerals in it will keep you from getting a hangover. Yeah, right, says Dr. David Robbins at New York's Beth Israel Hospital.
The cells that absorb the vitamins can be damaged by alcohol, so even if you're adding vitamins to your diet, the fact is that they may not be processed or absorbed by the body.
Well, at least there's chocolate.
I love your chocolate.
So bring it on. Dutch researchers who collected data for more than a decade on nearly 500 older Dutch men say those who ate the equivalent of a third of a chocolate bar every day had lower blood pressure and a 50% lower risk of death. Cocoa beans contain flavanols, which are thought to keep blood vessels healthy. The research confirms findings of smaller, shorter-term studies. But the authors say they're not ready to recommend that people pig out on chocolate. The test subjects may have been a healthy group to begin with. And do the results apply to women? They don't know. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Brian Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour.
In the news this Tuesday, Missouri Secretary of State Robin Carnahan has breast cancer. Carnahan says in a written statement that she has recently been diagnosed with the disease and is developing a treatment plan. She says the cancer was caught in an early stage and her doctors expect her to make a full recovery. Carnahan says she plans to keep working during the course of her treatment, quote, as much as my doctors and common sense will allow. A campaign aimed at defeating a ballot proposal to protect some forms of embryonic stem cell research is underway. Missourians Against Human Cloning kicked off their statewide effort in the St. Louis area yesterday. Field Director Bev Allen says Missouri voters aren't being given all the facts about this proposed state constitutional amendment that would allow such procedures as somatic cell nuclear transfer.
They portray it as a ban against human cloning. However, they've redefined cloning as implantation of the human embryo in the uterus. So they say it's a ban against human cloning, but they don't bother to tell anybody that they've redefined cloning.
Supporters of the ballot proposal say the process for SCNT doesn't use sperm and therefore isn't human cloning. Opponents claim it is and cite its use to develop Dolly the sheep. Finally this hour, the Maryland Heights Police Department is kicking off a new initiative designed to make sure teens wear their seatbelts. Sergeant Dan Flagg says Operation Safe Teen is targeted at young drivers who are in a high-risk group for traffic accidents. The program will include the use of driver's license checkpoints, which will also allow officers to make sure drivers are wearing their seatbelts. Flagg says he doesn't know why so many young drivers don't wear their seatbelts. Studies show that only 54% of teens buckle up. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic Tuesday nights for half-price burgers. That's right, Tuesday nights get a classic Sonic burger for half the price from 5 p.m. until close. It's not just a good deal, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Southbound Hanley at Dale, look for an accident. The left lane is now open. Traffic is jammed all the way back to Manchester. Southbound 170 at 70, look for an overturned vehicle. Left lane is blocked. Traffic is jammed back through the airport road. Westbound 44 at Murdoch, there's a disabled vehicle on the right shoulder. Northbound 55 from M all the way to 270 looks good. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler to Merrimack River Bridge, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 from Long Road to Clarkson, everything is on the move. Northbound 270 from Gravoid to 44 is slow in pockets. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into New Halls Ferry is slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, expect delays. Eastbound 70 from 94 to 5th Street, look for an accident that's off the roadway, so there may be some delays there as well. Southbound 55 from Holly Hills to Carondelet, there's road construction. Two lanes are closed this hour. Westbound 5570 at 64 in the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the 5570 split looks good, except for it may be slow in the right lane. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit all the way to Cleed's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the approaches of the PSB. Look for no problems to report there. Bryan Road at 5Z, there's an overturned vehicle. Just one lane is getting around. It's northbound lane right now. And also Adelaide at 70, look for those traffic lights not to be working. Stop signs are in effect there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the world's leader in specialized financial staffing. When you need temporary accounting or financial help, call Account Temps. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy, high around 70 today. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High should be in the mid-70s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers. The low should be in the lower 40s. And moving on to Thursday, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high only in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 36 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 36 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I see God.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, the Wake Up Call, the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, and my number, you want my number? My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up and get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me, There are some amazing, there are amazing things going on. It's interesting that, and make no mistake about it, you need to recognize flight when you see it. You need to be able to recognize, you need to be able to see when somebody is running away from you. Because, we all do things to mask what really happened, you're walking along, you trip in public, and then you, start running afterwards, acting like you were trying to run after, that you really didn't trip in front of everybody. We do that. We try to mask things that you don't want people to see. And sometimes you try to do it in front of people. Make no mistake about it, George W. Bush did not have this trip to Pakistan and India planned. He is running. Every time it gets, what's the song, babies? What's the song? It's getting hot in here. Her. It's getting hot in her. It's getting hot in her. Yes, it is. And that's why George W. Bush ain't her no more. He's gone to Pakistan. What is interesting? He's going to say, give the crooked two thumbs up to the nuclear ambitions of Pakistan. Interestingly enough, Pakistan hasn't signed the nuclear proliferation agreement. Like who shouldn't have nuclear capabilities? Iran. But Bush is giving the two thumbs up to them. Isn't that interesting? It's not about nuclear weapons, is it? They're not about that at all. So Bush is running off. He's getting the heck out of Dodge, getting on Air Force One, cussing at everybody. So he doesn't have to talk about, well, I don't know, vice president shooting people in the face and the heart. And how trippy is that? How scary of a dude is Dick Cheney to folks when you can make the person who you shot in the face apologize to you? Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear the 78-year-old man apologize to Dick Cheney after he got shot in the face? Dick Cheney's one scary mamma jamma, ain't he? He's one scary mamma jamma. He got the victim to apologize to him. He shot you in the face and the heart. And you saying, I'm sorry, if that's not, ladies and gentlemen, I do not have a degree in psychology. I do not have an associate's, a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD in psychology. And I submit to you, you don't have to have one to conclude what an abusive relationship that is. That is the man beating on the woman, his fist in her face, and she saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The 78-year-old man apologized to Dick Cheney after Dick Cheney shot him in the face and in the heart. And he still has shrapnel for the rest of his life. Ain't that some stuff? How scared are they? And remember, the guy that apologized, the 78, 79-year-old man, oh, by the way, happy birthday, you're 79. He's a Republican and a friend. And he's that scared of him. So I guess I understand why the Democrats are walking around wearing, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, let me just submit this to you. I imagine that on Capitol Hill, people have a lot of stock in Depends, okay? Because these folks are scared of these folks that are in the White House. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? You made the, and not only did the victim apologize, the one who got shot in the face and in the heart apologized, but he apologized on national TV. He apologized in front of God and everybody. So maybe they are the devil. I don't know. Because their friends are so scared of them. That you got a 79-year-old man who does, I mean, now let's do the math. Realistically speaking, you're not going to be with us for a whole lot longer. So what that means is, that, no, realistically, let me put it this way. Realistically, most of your life is behind you, not in front of you at 79 years old. I'm just saying, most of your life is probably behind you. No, I'm going to say most of your life is behind you at the age of 79. What does that mean? You got nothing to lose. You've made your millions and billions. Your money's set. your family's set. You fixing to shuffle off your mortal coil. You're closer to God than you are to man. Yet and still, when your your aha moment came, you said, shoo. You said, shoo. I'm apologizing to him because I'm still scared. And mind you, white, rich Republican, white, male, rich Republican is so scared of Cheney that he apologized to Cheney for Cheney shooting him in the face and in the heart. That's a mess. That's some straight up mess. So I guess those Democrats are scared. If the friends are scared, if the cohorts are scared, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Ha, 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 ha. The Internal Revenue. You want to know why they're scared? Let me tell you why they're scared. The Internal Revenue recently audited the books of a Texas nonprofit group. Why did they audit the books of this group? Because this group was critical of the spending by Tom DeLay. Lawmaker, Texans for Public Justice. They were audited by the IRS. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. What happens when you give bully, a bank account, and a military? What happens when you give a bully unlimited resources and unlimited support? Does the bully change his behavior, or does the bully just get worse? Dick Cheney made his friend apologized to him after Dick Cheney shot him in the heart and in the face and then didn't tell nobody. Ain't that some stuff? Randy.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I was wanting to talk really about 9/11 and all that, and you said what happens when you give a bully a bank account and an army. Well, that's exactly what happens. See, there's a lot of footage where it shows the planes and stuff striking towers. And right before the plane hits, you see a flash in front of the plane, right where it hits. And a lot of experts say that it looks like the towers were imploded and all that, like demolition. And, there's people on the ground that said the planes were twin engines with not really no windows. They weren't like commercial airliners. And if you remember right, the planes disappeared off the radar for 30 minutes. And, the people on the ground said that also the plane had something on the bottom of it that would either, like a missile or maybe fuel, something like
that. Well, Randy, we've done a number of shows on that. We've had all kinds of people on my show
right. Talking
about that. In fact, we even had a eyewitness that was in the building the day that the buildings imploded, and he was in the basement, and he talked about it. He testified before the 9/11 Commission. He testified that there was an explosion in the basement.
Yeah.
And that the building started crumbling as a result of that. In fact, you can listen to that interview on my website. It was an amazing, chilling testimony from an eyewitness that was there. So absolutely, and we've had lots of people testify that the buildings couldn't, that the engines of the fuel in the planes couldn't have lasted that long.
Right.
That there shouldn't have been that kind of concrete dust as a result of a building catching on fire and of that size and that magnitude and that composition turning it into concrete dust without extraordinary explosives being involved. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you familiar with the conspiracy in the $20 bill?
Uh-huh.
The way you fold it and it show. Well, 9/11 equals 20, and if you fold it just right, it looks like the Twin Towers.
It does. I've seen it.
One hit high, one hit low.
That's fact.
And if you also look at it, they said the two airlines that hit it were United Airlines and American Airlines.
Uh-huh.
And when you fold it, it looks like a little paper airplane, and on the side, like on the bill, it says United States of America. Well, if you fold it, one sign says United, and the other sign says America. Like both airlines.
United and American. That's right. Thanks for your call, Randy.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Bob.
Hey, Liz. How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Oh, okay. Liz, you're a better commentator at this than me. Can you tell me the thing with the King family, when she didn't let none of the people speak that was with her family, was that a sign of forgetting where you came from, or you think somebody... What do you think was the major cause of that?
Bob, I don't know enough about the details of the family to be able to say with any kind of certainty. I know what it's about.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm seeing things in one of the daughters that I've met them. I've met a couple of them.
Right.
And Bob, I don't know.
Because
you look at it, we had a guest on last week that talked, Manning Marable
right.
was on and talked about the daughter of Malcolm X.
Right.
When her mother died at their funeral, they invited Rudy Giuliani to speak in the midst of Amadou Diallo, in the midst of all of the crimes that his police were committing with excitement and joy. And then when black people booed him at the funeral, she told black folks to hush up.
So
I was talking with a girlfriend of mine last night.
Right.
We were talking about the legacy of these children of these civil rights leaders and of these people that advocated African people. And one of the things that she said to me, well, think about it, Liz. These children grew up without a father.
Right.
They grew up without a father. And then the Malcolm X's kids were sent to a white school.
Okay,
so that didn't teach them to hate their people and hate their dad. I don't know what else would.
Yeah.
And then you have society telling them to hate their daddy too.
Yeah, you're right. Right. One more thing quickly.
Sure.
Sometimes when you're doing your show, you'll go away and you'll come back with a little snippet of a song. And this song has just been staying on my mind so much, and I love this song, but what I want to know what it is so I can get the soundtrack to it.
What song? What are some of the words? Oh!
I love that. Man, if you tell me who that is today, I'm going to buy that today.
Who do you think that is?
I don't know. Marie McGovern?
No,
I don't know.
Not Marie. Oh, you're showing your age. No, it's not Marie McGovern. That's Madonna.
Okay, and that's Madonna. You know what soundtrack is on?
Yes, I do. That's the soundtrack from Evita.
Okay.
That's the soundtrack from Evita.
Thank you, Miss Liz.
All right.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. He recorded the song so I can name that tune. Name that tune. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And I want to do it because I'm just so excited about this. I got to give another shout out to my babies here. I went to the men's district tournament, class 2A, district 3 last night, and I watched with my own eyes Metro High School beat Valley Catholic. It was awesome. It was awesome. First time in the history of that school. First time. Coach Brown, shout out to Coach Brown and all of the players at Metro. Ryan, Jeremy, Travion, Sharon, Andrew, Daryl, Marcus, Anthony, Aaron, Joshua, Jordan. Y'all rock. Y'all rock. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Time for a break. Time for a break. But that's all right. Stay on the phone. We'll get back to you after we do this. 454-0400 is my phone number. I'm Liz Brown. Oh, Howard, you on it. You on it.
Morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry. There's an accident reported and traffic is backed up through 55. Then again, through slow through 44. South Hanley at Dale. There's a report of an accident. Left lane is now open. Traffic still jammed in Manchester. Southbound 170 at 70, look for an accident that's been cleared. All lanes are now reopened. Traffic is still jammed at 270. Northbound 55 from Route M to 270 looks good. Eastbound 44 from the Chrysler Plant all the way to Merrimack River Bridge, nothing to report there. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson through Mason is slow in pockets. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to New Hall's Ferry, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 from 370 to the Blanchett Bridge is on the move. Southbound 55 from Holly Hills to Carondelet. Road construction, two lanes are closed. Westbound 270 at 70, look for, or 170, look for slow traffic on the ramps there. Eastbound 70 at KN 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Spady, you've got slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB, expect delays. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue to the 5570 split looks good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing, no problems to report there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, those ramps are looking good. Adelaide at 70, the traffic lights are not working. Stop signs are in place. Bryan Road at Fizey, there's an overturned vehicle. The right lane is open in northbound. However, traffic is being diverted at Fizey. Watson at Sturdy, look for an accident there. And Natural Bridge, look for an accident at Natural Bridge and Warney. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy day, high around 70 this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers in the afternoon with a high around the mid-70s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy again, another chance for showers, 40%. The low should be in the lower 40s. And on Thursday, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high only in the mid-50s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 36 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 34, both under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Dunn. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for The Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
After saving the world, a super family like The Incredibles needs a super vacation. And Disney on Ice has it with their new show. Disney presents Pixar's The Incredibles in a Magic Kingdom Adventure. Join Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, Violet, Dash, and Jack-Jack as they meet Mickey and Minnie and enjoy the Magic Kingdom's most popular attractions brought to life on ice for the very first time. See them rocket through Space Mountain. Brave the ghostly thrills of the Haunted Mansion. Whirl around the Mad Tea Party. And when Syndrome shows up to spoil the fun, the Incredibles blast into action. And every child at the show gets a free Incredivan to help save the day. Come share this Disney on Ice adventure with your super family.
Playing March 15th through the 19th at Savas Center. Get your tickets today at all Ticketmaster outlets or online at DisneyOnIce.com.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Speechless, speechless, that's how you make me feel. When I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I am lost for words, I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel, so silently I pray. How I feel inside. Nothing's real, but all is possible. If God is on my side.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African Nigerian and loving it. 454-04 Yoruba. How cool is that? 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Tony.
Yeah, Liz, how you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, you had that historian on there, Marion Marable.
Manning Marable.
Manning, mm-hmm. Manning Marable. Mm-hmm. I was listening to that program that day with him, and then what he was saying about what the larger society is trying to do with the history of Malcolm and Martin, how mm-hmm. they're trying to reshape and refashion it mm-hmm. to give us kind of like a milquetoast image, or give our children down the line a milquetoast image of these men. Anyway, I happened to pick up this book. I don't know if it's just divine providence or what. A book called Judea Trembles Under Rome, written by a brother named Rudolph R. Windsor. He's an African. Liz, you and the audience need to get this book and read it. He got pictures of the ancient Judean people in there who was in Jerusalem at that time. He got their pictures in there. Got their pictures in there. But he also, in his work, in his research, in his studies, he's showing that the exact same thing happened with the African people, like Jesus and James and Spartacus. All of these people, Liz, they did the same thing. Those men, those historians, he said, those editors and writers who took charge of those, the history of those people in that day, did the exact same thing when they fashioned what they call the New Testament and the writings and the sayings of Jesus and James and all this. They did the exact same thing with Liz. When, if you read this book, Liz, you're going to see the exact same thing that this brother brings out in terms of what they did to the history of those people because they lost control of their history, that they're doing. They even changed the image of Jesus in terms of his physical characteristics.
All right.
You know, it's really amazing.
All right.
All right, Liz.
Nothing's new under the sun.
Right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get up and get to me. Marie.
Hello. Hi. Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I was, I didn't know we went back to the 1950s. No one told me. And the reason I'm saying it is the blackjack situation. I think, I don't, you would think in 2006, you know, two adults, you know, who are not bothering anybody, who can afford the place, can live there. I don't get it.
Okay, I don't. You need to make it clear for the audience what you're talking about.
Okay, this ordinance in Blackjack, there's this couple. They're not married, okay, but they have five kids, and they're not able to move to Blackjack.
They can't get an ordinance, or they can't get an occupancy permit to move into their home because there are ordinances on the books in Blackjack that said that you have to be married in order to live in the house.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that I understand that communities have the right to make whatever ordinances that they want,
mm-hmm.
and I find it interesting that, I mean, if they're enforcing the ordinance the way that fairly amongst everybody, if they're not targeting anybody, then they can have that kind of an ordinance. I wouldn't live in a community that had ordinances like that.
Right.
I don't think I can say that they shouldn't be able to have an ordinance like that because we live in a free society.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't try to live in a community that had an ordinance like that.
Right. I didn't even know it had an ordinance like that until it was, you know, made public. I had no idea.
And again, that's why you have to, you know about your community and know what kind of people that you're electing to be in office, because those are all pieces of that's a piece of legislation that was designed by someone, voted by someone, and enacted into law in Blackjack.
I don't know if it is illegal.
I don't know. Because that's my understanding that there was a challenge to it, but it's unclear. There was a legal challenge to it, but it's unclear what the result of the legal challenge was. I don't know if it's legal or not for them to do that.
And this is how I look at it. If there's an ordinance saying that, you know, I guess it's called a common law couple or whatever, if there's an ordinance against a couple that can't be married to live in a society, who's to say that there may still be an ordinance that black people can't live in a certain community?
I'm sure there's some laws on the books that have not been removed. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Murray.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello.
Yes.
Liz.
Yes, Ethel.
I want you to give a shout-out to Joe Scoggins. Today's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Joe Scoggins.
I'm going to go and make him a propane drink. He just loves it. I mean, he loves eternity.
And eternity should be loved. It's a wonderful restaurant.
I know. Thank you, Liz.
All right.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Joe. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. That's Eternity Deli. I'm telling you, they're the best. They are absolutely the best. They're one of our sponsors here. You need to check them out. They're at 11 South Euclid, 454-1851 is the number. You need to check them out. The best food in St. Louis. And your body will thank you. Your body will thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Christine.
Yes, Liz. I want to talk about a couple of things. One about the fuel tanker that overturned in North St. Louis, and also want to talk about the hurricane in New Orleans. About the fuel tanker, I think it was overturned at, I believe they said, Adelaide and I-70. And there were gallons, I don't know how many gallons, but whatever this oil tanker holds, half of it went down, a lot of it went down the sewers. It was just pouring in there. And I would like to know, if anybody could tell us what kind of environmental impact it might have in our community.
That's a very good question.
And then I said the second thing about the perspective about the hurricane in New Orleans. I heard on the it was a report that said that the federal government was going to give Missouri, I think it was over $6 million, to give to school children that were coming here to go to school from New Orleans.
I don't know if the federal government was giving the state of Missouri. That might be the total amount of money that they're giving out, because it's $6,000 per student. So $6 million would mean that there were like, a 100,000 kids or something like that here?
I don't know. Where are they? Because I thought they were supposed to be 500.
Yeah,
here, and they cancel that. Where are these children?
I believe that $6 million amount is for nationwide. I can't believe
this was for
M.O., Missouri.
I can't believe that there are 100,000 kids here.
There aren't.
Yeah.
So that's my question.
And that's what I'm saying. I just can't. The schools have to prove it. The schools have to submit the paperwork to prove that these kids are here. So it remains to be seen if all that money is. Maybe they allotted that much money for the state of Missouri, but the schools have to prove that the kids are there.
You know, it's just, I say, just another effort to get rich off of the backs of the poor people, because down there in New Orleans, they have these people who are supposedly being rescue workers living in these luxurious hotels. They're filled with them, and they've put the people that need a home out in the cold.
Got to roll. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. Was it your pride? Made you want to die? Leave your mama. Wonder why? And the baby used to cry. And was it over? The jilted lover, trusted brother, operating undercover, make you turn your back on your God. Tell me what you crying for. Let him go. He don't want you no more. What you crying for? Stupid. Never know. Once your eyes are closed.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Tuesday at this hour.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pie's, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pie's, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom. Like a light bulb. In a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Robin, good morning. Robin? Al, good morning.
Good morning, Lynn. I just had one comment. I'm so tired of seeing people that, like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, that people hate, speak over their graves at their funeral, just like they were just truly loved. I just don't understand that. All throughout history, them people was hated. But everybody, you got the black leaders, they and approve of stuff like that.
That would be like asking Custer to speak over Sitting Bull's funeral.
I mean, it's just amazing. You would think this man was the most loved person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then when the daughter got up and let people like Giuliani speak, I would have said thank you, but no thank you, because I don't think my father would have approved. We always have to make the peace, I guess. Nobody else make it but us.
No, that's not true, because what happened there was an anomaly. Come on. Come on. Most people, no, that's an anomaly. That is, and you know what I think a good thing for people to do is, would be to watch, what is his name? Wesley Snipes made a movie, made a documentary, and he made a documentary called The Long Walk Home, I believe it is, and it's a documentary about John Henry Clark. And in the book, John Henry Clark is an extraordinary African scholar, and he's talking throughout the entire documentary, and one of the things, and he's blind. At the end of his life, he's blind. And one of the things that he said was that the nonviolence component of the movement was meant as a strategy, not as the only way to obtain what needs to be obtained. Gandhi had armed guards around him. You know, I mean, so there's been such a misuse of one particular strategy. It's not the only strategy.
I just want to say this, and then I hang up because I know you got other callers. But Arabs, they can give respect, and we always trying to make the peace. I'm just sick of that, and people hate our guts, and then they betray something that they're really not. And I'm tired of them acting like they love Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, which in fact, they hated their guts.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Karen.
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to ask you, Liz. Good morning. I'm sorry. Anyway, the prisoners in Tipton have been without hot water for over a month now. And it's very unsanitary for them, you know, being together. They don't have hot water to wash their dishes and don't have water to take showers, and they have to walk way across about...
Why don't they have hot water?
They need a port for their pipes or something. And it's been over a month now, and the weather's cold, and they have to walk out in the cold to get to the showers, you know, across the way. And is it anything that can be done for them? This is very unhealthy.
Oh, it's really bad. That's awful.
Yes.
The food, not being able to wash the dishes.
Right.
That's awful.
And take showers, you know, and there's sick people in there.
Wow. I don't know. Has this been reported to the Department of Corrections?
As far as I know, it hasn't.
I'd start there.
And see, the prisoners are getting... You know, kind of rowdy because mm-hmm. they don't have.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
That's where I would start.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would start.
Uh-huh. Well, how can I go about doing this?
Just in the phone book. Department of Corrections for the state of Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And start there.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And you could always, if you've missed an hour, go get an hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. I'm also iPodded there. We are streamed at WGNU.net. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Huh. The United States has announced, let me put it this way, the Bush administration has announced that it is going to vote against a proposal for the new UN Human Rights Council. What are the odds that we could have predicted that? What are the odds? And of course, don't forget that John Bolton has been put in charge of the UN. He was a recess appointment by George W. Bush because he couldn't get enough votes to get approved, so George Bush recessed him. And
John Bolton has said that the United States will oppose the creation of a new human rights body. I bet that, you know, sometimes I think folks unintentionally confess. Of course, this administration would be opposed to a human rights body because they're opposed to human rights. So, of course, they would stand in opposition. We are very disappointed with the draft. We don't think it was acceptable. My instructions are to reopen the negotiations and try to correct the manifold deficiencies in the text of the resolution or push off consideration for the resolution for several months. That's the John Bolton that we all know and love. The new proposal, the Geneva-based Commission on Human Rights, has created a new proposal. The 47-member council, with members elected by a majority of all 191 members. The United States, of course, being the United States and being this administration, we want a human rights commission that is much smaller than 191 countries. They've pushed, and there has to be a screening process before you can get in the Human Rights Council. If there was truly a screening program, the United States couldn't get in, and if the screening process was enforced, the United States couldn't be a part of any Human Rights Council. Can anybody say Abu Ghraib? Can anybody say Guantanamo? Can anybody say preemptive strikes? Four five four oh four hundred is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU. What are the odds that we're going to get a human rights proposal done during the tenure of John Bolton at the UN? What are the odds? I would say slim to none. No, I would say none. There will be no human rights Council, there will be no human rights resolutions, there will be no human rights completion while John Bolton sits in the UN. The United States is getting ready to vote against the Human Rights Council. Of course we are. Of course we are. 454-0400 is my phone number. Whenever I get a little challenged about our the things that are going on in our government, you have to look to places where people are standing tall and doing what needs to be done. Check this out. Bogota, Colombia, Venezuela's oil minister. These are published comments in a Caracas newspaper on Sunday, said that the United States, it warned the United States that Venezuela could steer oil exports away from the United States and towards other markets. That's heavy. That is deep. That is serious. Not only, I mean, there's been threats that Venezuela was not going to give us oil, but now they're saying that they're going to steer other people away from the United States. The minister, Rafael Ramirez, said Venezuela, which is the world's fifth largest oil exporter and supplies more than 10% of American oil imports, could act in the face of what he's described as aggression by the Bush administration. We could steer oil exports away from the United States and towards other markets. Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Albert, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Got a question for you. So if the United States votes a vote against the human rights situation with the UN, does that automatically say that it's not going to happen?
The way that it's designed right now, there's a good chance that it won't. There's a good chance that it won't.
Really? So what? They're the only ones voting?
No, it's the weighted vote. It's also the threats that and the pressure that the United States can put on other countries to make them vote with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of those two things.
And people haven't woken up to things like, I mean, why would someone not want?
Because the United States would say, we're not going to give you $500 million in aid if you vote for this.
Wow. This is a crooked situation.
No carrot, just stick. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
You were born with
some very bad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you listen?
But the hard truth is that not every
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Another group is getting into the tug of war over the president's ports plan. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
An early document from Coast Guard Intelligence stated there were many intelligence gaps which prevented them from being sure that Dubai Ports World was a good candidate to run some port operations. The Coast Guard now says those concerns are resolved. But senators have seized on the early warning signal and are proceeding with legislation that would put the final decision in the hands of Congress, not the White House. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The president is turning his attention to foreign policy today. He'll meet today with the Italian prime minister. Later on, he's leaving for India and Pakistan. Mr. Bush is also dealing with another drop in the polls. A CBS News survey says his rating has fallen to 34%, his lowest yet.
The threat of civil war in Iraq, I think that shocked a lot of Americans. Then with the advent of Mardi Gras, as Mardi Gras approached New Orleans, the news media started focusing on how Katrina was handled by the federal government. That's never a good thing for the president when the news media does that.
ABC's John Cochran in Washington.
That's
New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin kicking off Fat Tuesday, a week of parties and parades that led up to today's celebration in which people eat and eat and eat and drink and generally be merry because tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, the start of the Lenten season for many Christians. The case is labeled Marshall v. Marshall. The plaintiff is better known as Anna Nicole Smith. She's taking her inheritance case to the U.S. Supreme Court. Here's ABC's Claire Shipman.
After a lengthy probate proceeding in Texas, Smith lost, but a California bankruptcy court gave her a multi-million-dollar award. The Ninth Circuit Court in California later ruled that federal courts had no right to interfere with the work of the state probate court. It may seem unlikely, but the White House is taking Anna Nicole Smith's side. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are all the way from Liverpool.
Thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
Washing your hands isn't just child's play, says Trish Pearl, Director of Infection Control at Johns Hopkins.
Washing your hands may be the single most important thing you can do to avoid infections. How long should you wash? Strike up a chorus of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star while you're washing, and you'll do your part for your own health and the health of those around you.
No soap and water available? No problem, says Pearl. Waterless gels are just as effective and come in easy-to-carry containers. This has been a public service announcement from Johns Hopkins.
A congressman convicted of corruption? Well, before your eyes glaze over, This is no run-of-the-mill case.
Randall Duke Cunningham has now been selected by the United States Justice Department as the most corrupt congressman in history.
The truth is, I broke the law.
Now ABC News has obtained the government's sentencing memorandum, revealing details of what it calls Cunningham's unparalleled corruption. Cunningham even kept a bribes menu showing how much in bribes it took for his help in getting Defense Department contracts. This Friday, a federal judge will sentence Cunningham to prison. Prosecutors will ask for 10 years, saying his crimes are unprecedented and so, too, should be his sentence. I'm Brian Ross, ABC News.
The upcoming release of the movie version of the best-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code, could be held up by a lawsuit. In two authors say that they are the ones that came up with the idea for the story. The publisher says he's going to fight it. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, an East St. Louis man is jailed for allegedly running over his girlfriend after an argument. Police say the man chased his girlfriend onto the front steps of a home in the 2500 block of Waverly in his Jeep after she broke the vehicle's windshield with a brick. The woman is hospitalized with serious leg injuries. Formal charges are pending. Governor Matt Blunt says this winter's mild, dry conditions make it crucial for Missourians to follow their local burning ordinances. Several wildfires have broken out in southwest Missouri, and until conditions improve, Blunt urges Missourians to refrain from conducting open burns. Current state laws leave it to local jurisdictions to make burning regulations. Blunt says he is working with the General Assembly to draft the bill allowing the governor to ban open burning during emergency drought conditions. Finally this hour, more than a dozen students from Maryville University are preparing to leave on a very special spring break. Kathy Quinn, Maryville's Director of Recreation and Intramurals, says students will be headed to Pensacola, Florida to build houses for Habitat for Humanity.
When we go, we arrive on Monday morning with a slab of cement, and by the time we leave on Thursday afternoon, we've put the shingles on the roof, the doors in, the windows in, and the house is framed inside.
Students must also sign a pledge to remain alcohol-free through the length of their stay. Students will leave for Pensacola on March 5th and return on March 11th. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your local RE/MAX dealer. Buying or selling a home could be the biggest financial transaction in your lifetime. Why trust your investment to anyone other than an experienced RE/MAX agent? Find your RE/MAX agent at RE/MAX.com. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic. The weather this hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 at Lucas and Hunter's, a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked. Southbound 270 between Page and Olive. Look for an accident reported in the left lane is blocked as well. Northbound 55 from Route M to 270. Look for normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson all the way into Mason. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44 is slow. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into New Halls Ferry. Look for slow traffic as well. Southbound 170 at 70. Look for that traffic to finally be easing up this hour. Southbound 55 from Holly Hills to Carondelet. Road construction. Two lanes are closed. Westbound 270 at 170. Look for slow traffic on the off-ramps. And eastbound 70 from K to 79 is slow. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh slow. Westbound 40 from Hampton to Hanley. Look for delays there as well. Eastbound 40 from McKnight to Hanley. Expect delays as well. Westbound 5570 from 203 onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic this hour. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 merge. Look for heavy volume going on. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit to Laclede's Landing looks good. And westbound northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. It is heavy on those ramps approaching the Poplar Street Bridge. Bryan Road at Fizey, look for an overturned vehicle. Only the right lane is now open northbound. Traffic is being diverted onto Fizey as we speak. Watson at Sturdy, look for that accident to have been cleared. Kings Highway at Wells, look for an accident and the right lane is open. There's a short backup. and Tom Guinever at St. Matthew Avenue. Look for an accident in O'Fallon with entrapment this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday for today, partly cloudy, high around 70. This evening, partly cloudy with low in the upper 40s. Wednesday, partly sunny, 30% chance of showers, high in the mid-70s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy again with a 40% chance of showers with a low in the lower 40s. And on Friday, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high only in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we're holding with 36 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field has 35 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this be?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
For all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a measurement of that 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, there's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this matter?
Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Oh, my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about, huh? It has been delicious. It's been interesting. It's been funny to talk about the political ramifications of the Vice President of the United States shooting somebody in the face and in the heart. 79-year-old man in the face and the heart. It's been delicious to talk about the evidence about the secrecy of this administration. It's been delicious and funny to talk about how this shooting just pretty much capsulizes everything that this administration stands for, secrecy, crimes of the wealthy, and a general I can do what I want when I want to attitude, and you all don't matter. And it's astonishing to talk about that. We live in at a time and a place in a world and in a country that the vice president, the second in command, the person that almost has his finger on the red button, he can shoot a 79-year-old man in the face and in the heart. And then the 79-year-old man apologizes to the vice president. That's amazing. These are amazing times. It's fascinating to talk about that. As fascinating as it is to talk about that. We also need to talk about another component of this, because it appears that it has escaped the media's attention that it's not just the vice president shooting somebody. It's about lots of people being shot by guns. We need to talk about this in the context of guns and people being injured by guns. And to do that, I have Josh Sugarman, the executive director of the Violence Policy Center. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Josh, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
We really need to have a discussion about the context of this, because one wealthy 79-year-old man being shot by the vice president doesn't begin to tell the tale of who gets shot in this country.
Right, and actually when that event occurred, you know, which is treated as something between almost like the weather and a joke,
mm-hmm.
we put out a press release making the point that, you know, the shooting of Mr. Whittington was one of more than 60,000 unintentional shootings that occur per year. And each year there are more than 30,000 gun deaths in this country, murder, suicide, unintentional shooting.
And Josh, we have a really bad connection here. Let me put you on hold, and we're going to try to clear up this line, okay?
Sure.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And, of course, talking about this issue of Dick Cheney being shot, it needs to be talked about in a more serious context. It needs to be talked about in terms of what it says about our nation, what it means in terms of how many people get shot on a regular basis here in the United States. And we have, again, joining us, Josh Sugarman. Josh, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. So you were saying.
Well, when the shooting occurred, we put out a press release and made the point this is one of more than 60,000 injuries that occur each year from guns, and more than 30,000 gun deaths that occur each year in this country. That's suicides, homicides, unintentional shootings. And I think during the course of the Bush administration, it's been an effort to make believe gun violence doesn't exist.
Mm.
And what happened with this shooting was, at least for a moment, it brought it home. But we think more importantly, there needs to be a debate about the role of guns in this country and the fact that, you know, today in America, virtually anywhere you go, you're not safe from gun violence, whether it's a school, whether it's a church, your workplace. And that's because of the easy availability we have to a wide range of firearms in this country.
And one of the kind of a chilling statement that Dick Cheney had made when he was talking, I believe, to the NRA, he talked about how, like, and I'm quoting this correctly, he said, "I, like many of you, I grew up close to the land. I learned from my dad how to handle a gun, and I still look forward to every chance to joining up with friends to go hunting." A lot of people that would defend the practice of putting more guns on the street would say, well, you know, the people that don't handle the guns are the people that haven't had any training with the guns.
Right. There's a big myth in the gun culture, and also I would argue, maybe even the general culture, that if you know guns, if you respect guns, you understand guns, nothing bad can happen to you. It's almost like they have this kind of transmogrifying effect.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw with Vice President, first of all, that's not true. But we've seen other high-profile shootings, the Jonesboro shooting, where two middle school children opened fire on their classmates. Those kids knew guns, they respected guns. In fact, up until the moment they pulled the trigger, they were the perfect NRA poster children. And what you find is that no matter how much you try to build in guarantees or follow this myth, the reality is that the lethality of the weapon itself has an effect. You can't change human nature, whether it's accidentally shooting somebody or taking out your anger against your fellow classmates.
And the difference is with a gun is that oftentimes, you know, there are no do-overs. You can't undo a dangerous gun is or a gun and the resulting danger is something that is particular to a firearm.
Right, and that hits on a very disturbing trend we're seeing over the past 15 years, is that, and most people don't know this, gun ownership in America is actually declining. What you have are fewer and fewer people owning more and more guns. So what's happened to the gun industry is that they're trying to resell the traditional market, which tend to be white males who are getting older. And so what they've done is they grasped onto lethality as the sales point for firearms, whether it's a high-capacity pistol versus a six-shot revolver, whether it's an assault rifle versus a traditional semi-automatic.
Wait a minute, Josh. I need to know if I'm following you correctly. The gun industry is going after the market of older white males to put more guns in their hands, and they want to put more guns with more kill power in the hands of older white males?
Well, let me put a wider range on the market. The traditional gun market in America for the past X number of decades has been white males. They have higher gun owning rates. That market is dying off. The generation that own guns is dying off. So the industry has two choices. Two options, I guess. One is, how do you resell that market, your traditional market? And that's where heightened lethality comes in. But also at the same time, like any other industry, and also following a trail blazed by tobacco and alcohol, reaching out to new markets, women and children. So it's a two-prong approach.
How do you reach to children for guns? What do they do for that?
There is a very concerted campaign to introduce children to guns at a very young age. We're talking as young as 5 or 6 years old.
Like, we're talking real guns.
That's correct. And whether it's hunting or target shooting.
This sounds like a skit from Saturday Night Live. What would the commercial be like to advocate to a parent to put the gun in the hand of a five-year-old?
Well, it's much more reaching out through a couple of mechanisms. One is people already own guns. You know, if you're a parent listening right now and you hear about how someone wants to come into your school to teach your kids about gun safety, be very wary about that. If the NRA says they want to bring in their Eddie Eagle program, which is allegedly a gun safety program, be very wary. Eddie Eagle is Joe Camel with feathers.
Mm.
And what it is, it's through the guise either of gun safety or through introduction to target shooting or hunting. The belief is that once you get a kid's hands on a gun, they'll be intrigued by it. And this is because kids today aren't buying into hunting, aren't buying into shooting. Same reason they're not reading books. You know, they're playing video games all the time.
Mm.
And if you can get up late and play your video game versus get up at the crack of dawn to go out in the cold and go hunting, most kids opt for the former.
Mm. So let's get back to the increased lethality aspect of bringing more people into the market. What is that?
What it is that since the mid-1980s, to resell the primary market, which is the white males, who have bought all the guns they're going to buy, basically, bigger is better. And actually, one of my coworkers, Tom Diaz, wrote a book called Making a Killing, The Business of Guns in America, and his analysis is, lethality is the nicotine of the gun industry.
Mm.
That's what sells the product. That's the addictive power today.
Mm.
And we see it from, as I mentioned briefly, the switch from six-shot revolvers to high-capacity pistols, larger calibers, and probably the most egregious example is what's known as the 50-caliber sniper rifle. We've launched a campaign to ban this weapon, but it essentially is a weapon that stands over 4 feet long. It's a military-bred rifle that is accurate up to a mile.
It's accurate up to a mile?
And it can down aircraft on takeoff and landing. It can penetrate armor plating. And it's used by our troops in Iraq to disable armored personnel carriers. Right now, under federal law, you can buy this gun as easily as your traditional hunting rifle and more easily than a handgun.
Josh, no, you can't. Are you serious?
Unfortunately, I'm not kidding. And for people who are listening to this and, you know, can't believe it, I offer two, you know, avenues to confirm it. One is visit our website, www.vpc.org. We've done 6 studies on this gun. California has banned these weapons because of our work and that of California advocates. And also, there's a wide range of manufacturers. One is Barrett Rifles in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. 60 Minutes did a big expose on this. And you can't imagine what this weapon can do.
Well, I can't imagine why any country would allow the citizens to buy that gun.
Well, especially a country like ours where we are, in theory, focusing on potential security threats to our infrastructure. And here you have a weapon that, as I said, can down aircraft, can penetrate armor plating, can be used against chemical cars, chemical plants. And, in fact, Time magazine did a piece, I think in the past year, talking about a possible scenario for an attack on a nuclear reactor. And they talked about how terrorists would most likely use 50 caliber weapons to penetrate the guard towers that ring such facilities, and that's why they're known as iron coffins.
How much does a weapon like this cost?
When we first started looking at this issue, which is back in 1999, and we did our first full study in 2002, I believe, there are a handful of manufacturers, and they're about $7,000. My most recent copy of Shotgun News, which just came in the other day, which is like the Sears catalog for gun dealers, I saw a single shot for $12.99 now. So not only has the price dropped dramatically, but also there are far more manufacturers than there were, you know, just even 2 years ago.
What would I have to do to walk into a gun shop to buy one of those?
Well, let me talk about federal law. Under federal law, if you pass the Brady background check, which is basically the check that they do that you're you know, not a convicted felon, you know, sort of the usual gamut, and you pass the instant check, you can walk out with it if you're 18 years or older. Now, there are some states that have more restrictions, but under federal law, that's the bottom line. If you want it, you can have it if you're not a felon.
How does Congress respond? I'm certain that your organization must use this as the poster child for why we need gun control. How is it that Congress hasn't passed a law against, at least against this particular weapon?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunately a continuation of the sort of blind eye that Congress has turned towards this issue.
I would think that this would be such an easy sell to get Congress to say no to a 50 caliber armor piercing tank blowing up nuclear facility demolishing weapon.
Well, I mean, we have very strong advocates. Representative Moran in Virginia has the House bill, and Senator Feinstein from California has the Senate bill. But, you know, this is the sad reality of this issue, that until something truly horrible happens, nothing gets done. You know, the assault weapons ban expired, and eventually when something truly horrible does happen, and it will, involving assault weapons, people are going to ask, how did this happen? How do we let this ban expire? When something truly horrible happens with a 50 caliber sniper rifle, people are going to say, why didn't we know about this? And the answer is, well, you did know, but you chose not to act on it. And it's because of a false fealty to the gun lobby and to gun owners in America who, quite honestly, everyone I've ever talked to, when you talk about the 50 caliber, even if they're the most dyed-in-the-wool, you know, bona fide gun nut, they will say there is a line and that gun crosses it.
Let me get to a caller here. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. You have a question for our guest, Josh Sugarman.
Sugarman. If you don't mind, I'm going to be rather harsh. I think your guest is, his motives are, his gender is suspect. And the reason I say that is, why do you not include the FBI, CIA, ATF, Border Patrol, police, and military in your argument about restricting the use of guns? What your argument is that you're taking away the only way an American citizen can defend himself in this corrupt and morally corrupt society. And tell me one thing. Why do you advocate taking away the only thing that Americans can defend themselves against a corrupt government? Thank you.
Thanks, Dimitri.
I don't share your views regarding the government. I mean, I don't believe that it's going to come to we're fighting for this country from barrel of a gun. But having said that, you know, right now, I mean, we favor a ban on handguns. We favor a ban on assault weapons, 50 caliber sniper rifles. We believe that the gun industry, which is the most unregulated industry in America, is not rated for health and safety like other industries, except for tobacco, actually, should be rated for health and safety. That means that the vast bulk of guns available for sale in America, possessed by Americans, shotguns, rifles, will remain available to citizens. So if your worry is that you won't have a gun when, you know, someone knocks on your front door, you will. I would argue, I don't think that's what, regardless of people's views of the government today or the government in the past or the government in the future, I don't think it's going to come down to that.
And we're going to take a break. When we come back, Josh, I want you to talk about what you mean about a ban against handguns. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 at Lucas and Hunt, there's an incident that's been cleared to the right shoulder. Traffic is still backed up at 2 Hanley this hour. Northbound 55 from M to 270 looks good. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Woods Mill to Mason Road, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Marshall, it is slow. Westbound 270 from 367 to New Halls Ferry, look for slow traffic. West or southbound 170 at 70, that traffic is easing. Southbound 55 at Holly Hills and Carondelet Road construction, two lanes are closed. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley, slow traffic. Westbound 40 from Hampton to Hanley, look for slow volume going on there as well. Eastbound 40 from Spady to McKnight, you can expect delays. Southbound 270 from Dorset to Page, look for slow due to an earlier accident. Westbound 40 at 270 in Mason, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 64 or at 40 in Ladue, look for slow traffic as well. Southbound 270 from Olive to 40, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing is on the move. And northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, look forward to traffic congestion to be rolling along steady this hour. Adelaide is 70, the traffic lights are not working, the stop signs are in place. Bryan at Fizey, that accident's been cleared. Kings Highway at Wells, look for an accident. Only right lane is getting by. There's a short backup. Jefferson at 44, there's an accident reported. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New from the Illinois Lottery, it's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds benefit health care services and disability programs for the Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy, high around 70. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers, high in the mid-70s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a low in the lower 40s. And on Thursday, much cooler with partly cloudy skies and a high only in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding at 36 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field has 35 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler, not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Bryant.
Been around the whole world, still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Josh Sugarman. He's the executive director of the Violence Policy Center. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And Josh, we had a caller, Dimitri, called and questioned expressed a very valid concern about not, as a citizen, not being able to have a gun when you want to have a gun. And you had spoken about that your organization stands for banning handguns. Talk to us about the ban that you're talking about.
Sure. Most people don't recognize that most guns in America are not handguns. They are your traditional hunting rifles and shotguns. Handguns are about a third of the nation's gun population, yet they account for the vast majority of all gun death and injury. Each year, about 80% of homicides involve handguns. An estimated majority of suicides involve handguns. And that's because of the unique design characteristics of handguns themselves. They're small, they're portable, they're highly lethal. We believe the public health research bears us out that America's gun problem is really a handgun problem. Now, when you raise this issue, the first response you get is, well, what about self-defense? Don't handguns kill enough criminals, stop enough crimes to warrant the death toll we see each year? And year in, year out, repeatedly, handguns are rarely used to kill criminals, less than a couple hundred per year, and the number of self-defense uses, you know, the either firing a shot, not killing somebody, or even waving the gun in theory, are very relatively minimal.
Well, how do you even get the stats for that, Josh? How do you get the stats for last night some guy drove up on me acting crazy and I pulled my handgun out of my purse and waved it at him and he went away? There's no way to gather that stats. How do you get those stats?
Unfortunately, all we have is survey data.
Uh-huh.
And the broadest survey ever done on this issue was done by the Justice Department, the National Crime Victimization Survey, which found that overall there were approximately 69,000, I believe, instances where a gun was available to an actual potential victim of crime. We don't know what type of gun it was. We don't know whether the gun was used successfully. But that's the broadest survey ever done, and it's done every year, and this number is held consistently.
And how many people does that survey include?
I believe it's 80,000 households, I believe. In fact, I was surveyed once just by accident. I live in D.C., and this very nice woman comes to your door, shows you a badge, and actually doesn't show you a badge, but it's a very detailed survey. Mm-hmm. And other surveys have been done from Harvard University, David Hemingway, who's a public health researcher there, and same findings have been mirrored. Now, when you talk about this issue, you'll hear guns are used 2 million times a year, 3 million times a year to stop crime. And Hemingway research, and this is from the research of a researcher called Gary Kleck, Hemingway research has shown that that's a widely exaggerated number, but it's very useful to groups like the NRA and useful to those who want to believe that the gun will stop the crime. But the bottom line...
Well, I mean... With the survey piece, there are so many reasons for people not to be honest in a survey like that. Why would I tell a stranger that I pulled out a gun and scared off somebody when my gun's not registered? Why would I mean, it's a survey that seems to me that is wrought with the possibilities of people just not being honest about that. And I think I hear on the other side the 2 million people that they're saying that have used a gun to stop this. They don't have any data to support them either.
Well, let's look at the actual dead bodies. I mean, let's be blunt about it. If you have 2 million times a year people using guns, 3 million, whatever it is, to stop crimes, where are all the bodies of these victims?
Well, because they were scared off by the gun as opposed to being shot by the gun.
But if you accept the ratio of 2 or 3 to 1 of fatality to injury, then, I mean, as I said, we have less than probably 200 just about homicides a year in this country involving handguns.
So your organization is asking for a ban on handguns?
Yes, we believe
total
that,
ban on handguns.
Right, we believe probably the most effective would be if you could stop handgun production tomorrow. That'd be a tremendous first step. If you did that, as I mentioned earlier, the 50 caliber sniper rifle, there's also a new trend of 50 caliber handguns, which can penetrate quite easily the bulletproof vests worn by police. It's increasingly being recognized. If you stop tomorrow, you would stop this increased lethality in handguns because the gun industry is not static. It's always looking for something new, some new product, some new way to, as I mentioned earlier, heighten lethality. At that point, if you stop, basically turn off the spigot, then you could talk about, over the long term, we're talking decades here, means by which people could, in gun buybacks, you name it, begin to get guns out of the various communities and across the country. Right now, gun buybacks, we don't do anything. I mean, they're good for getting guns out of the homes that aren't being used, but all too often they act merely just sort of like a rebate program for the gun industry. You turn in your old gun, get some money, buy a better gun.
I'm just sitting here thinking that, and I have never considered myself as a Second Amendment type of person in any way, manner, shape, or form, but the idea that I couldn't buy a handgun if I wanted to buy a handgun is chilling to me.
Well, I mean, I think we have to decide as a society. I mean, if you look at other democracies around this world that have done quite well without handguns, whether it's England or basically any Western industrial nation, either has banned handguns or placed such tight controls at such an early time.
I accept tight controls. I do. I accept tight controls, and I accept that the industry has to be regulated for safety. If you regulate teddy bears, you need to regulate guns in terms of safety and all of that kind of stuff. I accept that. But the idea that, because in England, is it illegal to own a gun?
Handgun.
It's illegal to own a handgun.
They say they're very tightly restricted. They're limited to clubs. Now they are moving to basically ban handguns.
Okay, I'm talking about you're talking about the police, right? Are you talking about citizens cannot own?
Yes, that's
citizens
right.
Cannot own handguns.
Handguns.
Let me get to a caller here. Tim, you have a question for our guest.
Yeah. The hysteria with guns in this country.
Tim, you're sounding very distant. Get up on your phone.
Well, maybe it's the phone. Is that
okay.
Any better?
No. We're going to have to call back on another line. Let's get back to what you were saying, Josh. Now, in terms of the ban on handguns. How is that being seen in Congress? What kind of movement are you getting on a complete absolute ban?
We aren't. I mean, there is no support right now in Congress for a handgun ban. In fact, what we've seen is members of Congress sort of paying false allegiance to the Second Amendment. I think what's interesting is that in this country, there's a hardcore 30% of the American public who supports a handgun ban. And that number jumps up to 50% in the wake of a high-profile shooting or some horrible event. And that number, regardless of whether a gun control is in as an issue, out as an issue, of great concern, of little concern, has remained constant. And I think the other issue, going back to your concerns about banning handguns, is if one is willing to accept what we have today, as far as these easily portable lethal weapons going from city to city, from loose control states to high control cities, the kind of shootings that we're seeing, this is what the NRA calls the price of freedom, literally. We would argue the price is way too high and that you're not seeing any resultant benefit from handguns that balances out the harm we see from them. And I think that's the question, the analysis we have to look at. I think if it was any other consumer product, people would go, well, if it was toasters, you know, we're losing 30,000 people a year, but my toast is really nice. You'd have a different, people would have a different point of view.
Well, no, because we're talking about the issue of safety. With toasters, there's other ways to get your bread brown besides putting it in a toaster. That's convenience. That's not the same thing. With a gun, people attach, with ownership of a gun, the average person like myself attaches to it the idea of a gun is about keeping you safe.
And you've hit the nail on the head.
And we have, okay. But hold on to that thought because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Josh Sugarman, Executive Director of Violence Policy Center. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety next Tuesday in the 8:45 time slot.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660.
Come enjoy the musical Pippin at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 517 Theater Lane in Webster, March 3rd through the 5th and March 9th through the 12th. Shows are at 8 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Sundays. For more information, call 314-962-0876. Pippin at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 962-0876.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Let me tell you why I love it.
'Cause he is the truth, said he is so real, and I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly. Cause light shines so bright, I would lie.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm talking to Josh Sugarman. He is the Executive Director of the Violence Policy Center in Washington, D.C. We're talking about the Cheney shooting and gun violence and banning guns. Josh, let's talk about the guns making me feel safer.
Right. You had mentioned that, basically, as you said, people attach the idea mm-hmm. of self-defense to a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is hitting the issue head-on. People believe handguns offer protection. And that's an idea that is reinforced by television, by history, as far as how people, you know, novels and movies. And it's very tough to put all that aside and look at how are handguns actually used. And what you find when you look at the actual numbers is that, A, they aren't good self-defense tools. B, there are better ways to do it. And C, even if you choose a gun for self-defense, which I don't recommend, there are better guns to do it with.
So why doesn't it work? Why wouldn't me? Well, and I'll give you a prime example. My family, I'm of African descent. My father was driving us through the mountains of Colorado. My father is Green Beret, Special Forces, all of that stuff. And a truck with a white driver attempted to run us off the road. My father pulled his gun from under his seat, showed it to this guy, and the trucker backed all the way off.
For every time that someone can cite instances like that,
mm-hmm.
there are far more times when people's families are destroyed by the availability of a gun,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the actual murder, suicide, unintentional shooting, whether it's an injury, whether it's people being terrorized in communities by the easy availability of firearms.
But, Josh, see, that, and when you say that, the problem that I have with that, with the statement from you about that is, you have an 80,000 person survey that is that they make that the Justice Department does every year, and that's a survey where people can choose to tell you the truth or not choose to tell you the truth. And the people on the other side of the issue, they throw out the number of 2 million, 3 million people do exactly what my dad did, what I saw with my own eyes. I don't think that either side has the numbers to support that. There aren't more people out there that have real-life experiences like I had with my family every day.
Well, I think you can't dismiss people's real-life experiences, and no one's trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's the self-defense use of a gun or people actually use guns to stop actual crimes. But I think it's the real-life experiences overall of people in communities and across this nation to be taken into account. And I think it's a very tough argument to make that we're a better country today because of the gun industry, and if we didn't have handguns out in the streets.
Let me get to another caller here. Frank, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, I do. If he is successful in banning handguns, number one is, how are you going to get the handguns away from the criminals? And number two, how are you going to get the existing handguns out of law-abiding citizens' homes?
Well, I actually addressed that earlier when I talked about how if you could stop production immediately, that would cut the flow of about 1.5 to 2 million handguns a year into the general population. You could then look at various ways to try and have people surrender their handguns, whether through buybacks or issues, approaches like that. To answer your other question about criminals, the last segment of society to obey any gun law or any law itself will be criminals. That's why they're criminals. It's in their job definition. But the reality is that most gun deaths in this country is not crime-related. It's suicide. People often bought guns for self-defense. Most homicides are not the result of a crime, but arguments, people who know each other. So, yes, there will be criminals. They'll be the last to obey any law. But that's not where the bulk of the death injury is coming from.
Let me get to another caller here. Dee, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Josh, what about people like me? My life has been saved several times because I've had access to guns, like in the up in the mountains with Leah's father. But people like me, if you take everybody else's gun, I know very well how to make several types. And that would be unfair to the other people that couldn't get them.
Well, how was your life saved?
Well, I was in the Boot Hill of Missouri going to a funeral in Tennessee, and four white men tried to run me and a girlfriend off the road. And that was Highway 66 at the time, and you couldn't back up because it was a two-lane highway. They drove up ahead of us, blocked my car sideways. We could neither back up nor go around. They came out approaching my car, and I pulled my gun from under the seat. And only one, they kept on coming, and the other three white boys had to force him to get back into the car. That's only one instance, mm-hmm. young man.
It was your second question? I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Oh, about making a gun.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, I could make one, you know, and that would be unfair to the rest of the people.
All right. Thank you,
Dave. Thank you.
Well, once again, going back to as we discussed earlier, you wouldn't be banning all guns, and even if you did ban handguns tomorrow, unfortunately, there would be a large number of handguns still out there. And also, I don't think you can compare a homemade gun to what you can buy from a manufacturer as far as lethality of it.
And in terms of the I got to tell you this, Josh, I would have never thought that I would be in a position of saying that I want to have the option for a handgun. But you're making me want to say I want to have the option for a handgun. Simply because of the idea of my government saying, no, I can't have one of these, it tells you that this is something that you need to have.
Well, I think that, you know, we each come from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, at what point are you willing to give up something, you know, buying a handgun, compared to the effect that the product itself, the gun itself, has on the nation, various communities, your family and friends?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of people who have said, there is no point where I'm going to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And from your perspective, from your sort of traditional gun nut perspective,
mm-hmm.
and I say gun nut meaning like the people
who
believe there are black helicopters flying over this country and that there's a plan, you know, name any conspiracy you have. And I think it's a responsibility of people like myself and others to raise the issues, but at some point, if we decide as a country and if the left and right can get together and believe that no matter what the price is we're going to pay for gun violence, it's worth it, that's the choice we made as a country.
Let me get to one more caller here. Tim, you have a question for our guest, Josh Sugar.
Yeah, I was going to allude to the ridiculous allowing of concealed carry. There's 44 states in this country that allow concealed carry. And when you consider that you have an excess of 20,000 homicides in this country a year, it's ridiculous. I want to ask him one question. People that look at these video games and the like on a regular basis, do you think that that would have some adverse effect on the person looking at it? And George Bush supposedly spends from 3 to 4 hours a day looking at video games.
Thanks for your call.
That I believe that certainly video games deaden people's views towards violence. And I think the difference is that in the same way that violence in movies deadens us, you know, sort of this postmodern wink and a nod view at violence. At the same time, as I mentioned earlier, movies tend to reinforce issues of self-defense and views of self-defense. What makes us different than everyone else if you compare us to Western industrial nations, is whether it's video games or movies, most other nations don't have the means to act out these sort of, you know, Walter Mitty-esque fantasies, whether it's getting a 50 caliber sniper rifle, whether it's shooting your classmates. They don't allow them that means to live out the video game fantasy. What makes us different is that we do. You know, the American media, American entertainment dominates the world. And Japan has, you know, video games that are far more violent than we see here in the U.S. And the kids, from my understanding, are just as addicted, if not more so. But the difference is they've banned handguns. They've banned virtually wide categories of firearms. So you see a different use of weapons or ability to use weapons comparing the two countries.
And I want to thank you. That's got to be our last word. Josh Sugarman, Executive Director of the Violence Policy Center. What's your website?
www.vpc.org.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We are taking a break. I'll be back. Stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, my brothers. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brothers, help me listen. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that you blow that the low making.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you listen?
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
Like my body.
You know her as Anna Nicole Smith, Playboy playmate turned reality TV show star turned weight loss supplement pitch woman. But today she's Vicki Marshall, a plaintiff in a case before the U.S. Supreme Court. She wants what she considers her share of her late husband's estate, and she's already caused some commotion in the halls of justice.
She was immediately surrounded by the media and private citizens. She was dressed in all black and looked very thin and very fit. After she walked through the metal detector, she even had her photograph taken with some security guards from the U.S. Supreme Court. She was then escorted to the second floor to get her seat.
ABC's Manuel Medrano at the U.S. Supreme Court. The good times are rolling in New Orleans. This is the final day of Mardi Gras. ABC's Alex Stone is in the midst of it on Bourbon Street.
Even people who are proponents of having Mardi Gras admit it'll be somewhat of a relief for it to be over. It took a lot of work for this city to gear up for the thousands of people who are in town celebrating. And tomorrow, most of those people will be out of here and the partying will be over. Now this city will focus on getting ready for hurricane season, which begins in only a couple of months.
The crowds are smaller this year, just 6 months after Hurricane Katrina. And for some, this is no time for celebration. They're still busy looking for their loved ones.
As of this morning, there are 1,902 Louisianans still officially missing. 238 are kids under 20. State officials trying to reunite families believe the majority majority of the missing are alive, but with entire families, networks of friends, and neighborhoods completely uprooted, it's harder than you might think for people to find each other.
ABC's Kate Snow in New Orleans. President Bush is focusing on foreign policy today. He's meeting with the Italian Prime Minister this morning. Later on, he'll leave for India and Pakistan. Checking the money scope at ABCNews.com, the Dow is down 25 points. The NASDAQ is off by 4 in early going. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, number NASD and SIPC.
Washing your hands isn't just child's play, says Trish Hurl, Director of Infection Control at Johns Hopkins.
Washing your hands may be the single most important thing you can do to avoid infections. How long should you wash? Strike up a chorus of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star while you're washing, and you'll do your part for your own health and the health of those around you.
No soap and water available? No problem, says Pearl. Waterless gels are just as effective and come in easy-to-carry containers. This has been a public service announcement from Johns Hopkins.
William Macbeth is now Lily Macbeth, and she says she's the same teacher she was before her sex change operation last year. But some parents in a New Jersey school district aren't so sure.
I will not allow you to put my kids in a petri dish and hope it all turns out fine.
He's among the parents who want a permanent sub for the sub. And the Oscar goes to ABC's Daniela Benlada has more on the Hollywood Word of the Year. Yes, word.
Brokeback is the Hollywood Word of the Year. The nonprofit group Global Language Monitor's second pick may surprise you. Brangelina, the hybrid name given to Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Placing third, Petronia, a phrase inspired by the film Syriana, meaning an irrational fear of the collapse of the oil industry, followed by global economic crisis. Fourth was Tuxedo, a reference to the nature film March of the Penguins. And fifth, the term pimping, thanks to the film Hustle and Flow. Daniela Bellata, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger. ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the FBI is investigating a threat found on a plane bound for St. Louis. American Eagle Flight 5564 from Oklahoma City's Will Rogers World Airport was evacuated yesterday morning after threatening graffiti was found written inside the plane's baggage compartment. The 44 passengers were placed on other flights as a precaution. No explosive material was found on the plane. Congressman Todd Akin says people are being too grouchy when it comes to the economy. Akin was joined by Assistant Commerce Secretary Al Frink in Clayton yesterday to meet with members of the Missouri Economic Development Council. Akin says the manufacturing sector overall is doing well.
Sometimes people say, well, we've lost all these manufacturing jobs. In reality, we've gained overall the amount that we're manufacturing in terms of dollars of product has been very strong and has at least been holding our own in terms of world manufacturing.
The United States has gained 4.7 million new jobs since August of 2003, with 2 million of those jobs coming in the last 12 months. Frink and Akin attribute that to President Bush's 2003 tax cuts. Finally this hour, relief pitcher Ricardo Rincon is now in the fold at Cardinal Spring Training in Jupiter. He threw batting practice yesterday after missing the first 12 days of camp because of visa issues. Rincon still has not decided if he will pitch for his native Mexico in the upcoming World Baseball Classic. The Cards take on Florida Atlantic University in an exhibition game at 12:05 this afternoon at Roger Dean Stadium. The Redbirds will then play their first game against a major league team on Thursday against the Mets, with Jeff Supon scheduled to make the start. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through February, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and whether this hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 270 at Doherty Ferry, there's an accident that's been cleared to the shoulder. There may be some slight delays. Southbound 55 at Holly Hills and Carondelet, there's road construction. Two lanes are closed. Adelaide at 70, look forward to lights not working. Stop signs have been put into place, so it's four-way stop is in effect. The St. Clair rest area is closed. Crews are installing new sewer lines and water lines. Eastbound rest area will reopen in March. The westbound rest area will be closed until August. Route Z at 70 is closed through March due to construction work. The traffic detours on the Interstate Drive, then Wilmer Drive, then South Service Road, then Winsville Parkway, and then back on the eastbound 70. Shodo is closed from Van Deventer to 39th to rebuild the bridges and roadway. The eastbound exit ramp from 64 to Shodo is closed permanently. And in both directions, 370 at Elm and 94, look for bridge maintenance operations, having the left lane closed. Northbound Route 141 at Gravoy, there's road construction, right lane's closed. And westbound Manchester from Rock Hill to Woodlawn, look for closed road construction, having the right lane closed there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly to mostly sunny skies with a high around 70. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers in the afternoon with a high around 70. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, low in the mid-40s. And Thursday, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 37 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 37 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how much is that?
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget we broadcast live on the World Wide Web. We are streamed at WGNU.net. Also, my website, LizBrown.com. Email, revolution@LizBrown.com. On this show, we talk about it all the time. We talk about it all the time. The plans that don't appear to be in the making, given the assault that we as a country are receiving from this administration on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, every second of every day. There's some new assault that this administration has cooked up and foisted upon us. And when we look to Congress for assistance, when we look for an opposition party, we're more disappointed than anything else. And we're disappointed more often than anything else. And every once in a while, we hear stories of people that are doing things that are outside of the structure that we have. The people at Downing Street, people that move on. There are some folks out there that are engaging in actions and not relying upon feckless leadership in D.C. Can't be scared, but they seem to be, and they are in some cases. So who out there is trying to do something outside of the beltway, outside of the way things have been done by the, in theory, opposition party? We're going to talk about that this morning. I have joining me from New York City, Nathan Newman. He's the policy director for PLAN. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning.
So what's the plan?
What's the plan? Yeah, the plan is the Progressive Legislative Action Network. It's sort of bringing together a number of progressive groups, from unions to other groups that are concerned about what's happened in this country, and saying, if you look at D.C., things are either not moving forward or, worse yet, moving backwards. But where there's room to fight is actually in the state houses around this country, in the states, where there's a lot of the folks on the right wing that are trying to pass bad bills, but there's also folks in state houses raising the minimum wage, fighting for health care, looking at how to do sort of development in our communities that helps people, provides affordable housing. And that's where we're going to be organizing to support, make sure that in many of these legislatures where they don't have much staff, don't have much money, but have lots of energy, we're going to help get them the policies, the fact sheets, the support that can help them pass better legislation, help improve people's lives.
The right has been doing this, right?
The right's been doing this for 30 years and more, but they've had a very well-organized nexus of organizations spearheaded by one in particular called the American Legislative Exchange Council, also known as ALEC, which has really been where, you know, ExxonMobil gets together with right-wing legislators and drafts legislation to roll back, you know, global warming legislation, or Walmart gets together with, like, other legislators to roll back minimum wage laws.
So
and they
like
have a very well-organized system where their task forces are co-chaired by between corporations and right-wing legislators, and they jointly develop policy that they then send out across state houses across the country. And they've been doing this for 30 years.
It's like one-stop shopping.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes look around and say, geez, this bill, like, we're seeing in our state, wow, it's happening in your state, too. And it turns out it seems to just be popping up organically. But really, there's a well-organized campaign to sort of move legislation across the country quickly, year after year. You know, ALEC introduces thousands of bills across the country and gets hundreds passed each year just with this method. It's like it's a machine that just spits out right-wing ideas and legislative support. And, you know, we're not going to have the money on the right, but we have a lot of folks, grassroots energy. We're teaming up with groups like Move On and some of the labor unions who can sort of get people power out there and, along with the expertise that we can provide, help give a lot of progressive folks out in the states the support they need.
And where are you going to get your funding from?
We're getting, right now, we're starting off with some funding from, you know, some progressive foundations, some of the labor unions, a few individuals who have been funding other sort of a progressive outreach. You know, we're not going to ever, like, beat out the ExxonMobils of the world for funding, but we're going to be able to at least have a core of staff that can actually give that support.
So what's the agenda? Is there any particular legislation that, you all are going to be part of to get moved across this country? What's the focus?
Okay. I mean, there's a few focus that we're looking at where can progressives not only move good policy, but also sort of, in some cases, bring home or activate voters who just haven't seen why they why it should matter at election time who controls state houses. There are issues on sort of workers' rights, things like minimum wage, what's been called fair share health care, to make sure employers pay health care for their employees and don't dump them on, you know, the public. So that's one area. Another area is making sure that, you know, the right talks about family values rhetoric, but they don't really value families. They don't provide the daycare support. They don't make sure that there's sort of pre-K education to make sure there's the both early education to help the kids, but also education so that the working moms can actually have and working dads can actually work. So we are sort of looking at that sort of balancing work and family to say to folks, look, if you care about the family, there are issues that the right wing is opposing, and here are the issues that when you think about family at election time, here's what you should be looking at.
So what's some of the here's what you should be looking at?
Okay. If I was to look at sort of the headline issues, it is minimum wage is going to be pushed across the country this year, is being making inroads. Fair share health care is being pushed to say large employers should provide health care. Paid family leave is an issue. We're going to be seeing pushed more and more, saying, look, if you have kids, you know, the law says you can take time off, but you don't get a paycheck, which means it's really hard for most parents to, like, sort of take care of those kids in the first few months of life.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be pushing that. Also looking at issues which really talk about economic development and growth, because in many cases, progressives, while they obviously care about jobs, don't always get that message out to the public. And so there are some areas where things like clean jobs, new jobs that, like, both cut down on wasteful energy use, but also whether it's rehabbing buildings to, like, make them more energy efficient, create jobs. And we're going to be saying if you want to both save the environment and create jobs, there's a whole slew of policies often fronted by, you know, various progressive groups. There's one called the Apollo Alliance that we're going to be working with that's really created good coalitions between labor unions, environmentalists, and other community groups to say we can do, we can take care of our folks and provide jobs.
And what about the assault that is going on Medicare and Medicaid, the assaults that are going on social services for citizens out here? Does PLAN have an agenda to a campaign to, I don't know, reconnect America back to its values and protecting, you know, our seniors and protecting our poor?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the issues that has to be, and, you know, we released a report just this last week that detailed how the right is sort of undercutting the basic ability of local governments to provide those services. The one of the issues that's going to be out there this year, you'll be hearing about so-called taxpayer bill of rights that they had in Colorado and voted to significantly roll back this fall because they saw it didn't work. But even with failed policies, they keep rolling it out. And they, what they want to do is put a stranglehold constitutionally, legislatively, on the ability to raise the revenues to provide these basic social services. And we're going to be out there highlighting the right-wing plan and stuff and saying, look, if you care about the basic social services in your community, medical care, as you said, social services, education, you need to defeat these kinds of initiatives and make sure our legislators have the funding they need to provide these services. Because otherwise, we're just cutting off, like, our next generation. And that's, you know, we're part of the case that progressives have to point out is you know, when you talk about Social Security, retirement, you know, if we really care about the future, it isn't these funny financial games turning it over to Wall Street to manage. It's about investing in our people, because if the next generation is productive, you know, able to, like, work, produce, like, revenues, that's what takes care of the seniors in the future, not these funny financial games they're trying to promote.
I'm looking at the numbers, because, like you said, the Republicans have understood this for about 30 years, that they, to gather together, you have a force in every state. You put
right.
together all of the legislative leaders from that state and then begin rolling out the legislation that you want. I'm looking at the numbers on the right, 34 state speakers, 25 state Senate presidents, 31 state Senate leaders. What are the numbers on the other side of this?
You know, it's hard to measure because our folks aren't as well counted.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we have definitely legislatures that will, on individual issues, pass good bills. There have been groups, you know, little networks. There's one called the Center for Policy Alternatives. There's Caucus of Labor Legislators, Caucus of Environmental Legislators that sort of keep track of some of these issues. But we haven't had this well-organized way to sort of say, across the country, are we a cohesive movement in
yeah.
the state houses? Like, you know, George Bush last fall went to the National ALEC Convention, and he gave them a speech, thanked them for advancing the, you know, conservative agenda, and he saw them as a unified force, not 50 individual states,
right.
but a unified force sort of working together. And afterwards, the chairman of, who's a legislator out of Georgia, where they've been pushing a lot of these right-wing ideas, said it was like, you know, a governor talking to his legislative leaders. That's how they see themselves. They see, you know, basically Bush as a super governor telling them all what their marching orders are.
So what's the first step in getting the folks on the other side of the issues connected to plan?
Well, one of the things we feel is like getting not just the legislators, but a lot of activists who sometimes look to D.C. too often when there's not as much happening out there, when there are things they can do right at home, to know what's going on. We have a new website that just launched. It's at progressivestates.org, which is going to really track what are the good legislation being pushed so that other legislators can say, hey, that's a great idea. Let's move it in our state. And also highlighting what the right wing is doing that's not going to solve the problem and will make it often worse.
Progressivestates.org. Okay. So,
that's step one.
Okay.
Step two is we're going to be going out to state houses, talking to both legislators, activists, saying what are the best ideas that you've seen pushed, what's worked, and where would you like to see it go next? Because one of the things the right wing does is take ideas and then say, we'll deliver you legislation in 5 months or 3 months or 2 months if they need it that quick. And so we're going to be, by the end of this year, since a lot of legislation's already been introduced this year for, like, in your sort of, that's where the agenda is, and we're going to be supporting what's good and opposing what's bad. But by 2007, roll out a whole set of policies that can sort of take on the right wing, undercut them by sort of saying, look, if you want family values, we've got real family values here that take care of families and make sure that put the right on the defensive with a legislative agenda that really speaks up for American values, that take care of folks instead of just leave them on their own.
So what kind of responses are you getting?
We've actually had a large number of legislators like Ryan say, look, this is what we've needed, what can we do, and can you help us on this bill or that bill, and we're going to be following up. And then we're meeting with many community groups that are like, okay, great, how can you help strengthen us out here, can you give us some support? And, you know, it is going to be a step-by-step thing. People sometimes say that, you know, we have wonderful activists. I mean, sometimes people say, oh, God, there's nothing happening. There's lots of folks doing great work out there, and we want to support and highlight the people who are doing that who just need a little bit extra help, who need to be connected up with people in other states so they can share ideas and not reinvent the wheel. And then one of the things we're going to have is what we call sort of a legislative war room. When the right is attacking them, give them, like, some extra support. Get out to the media, to everybody else to say, look, these are lies. They're spreading lies to defeat good progressive policy, and we're going to have the folks who can quickly get the experts out there to respond and take on. Because, you know, the progressives often have to cede the media to these folks because they're just pumping money and propaganda out there. So we're going to hopefully be supporting groups under attack to make sure they have the ammunition to fight back.
And I can count the times that, for instance, like on stem cell, when I can get 15, 20 faxes on the other side of the issue and none on the pro side of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the challenge, to even if you think the fax is not going to land anywhere, you still got to send the faxes out.
And it's also thinking about how to do more, even more than just the facts, the press release. How can you get the events where, you know, real people with real stories, who stem cell research is a great example, who would be helped to get out there, give a compelling story? Because, you know, journalists can, like, go with where, like, you know, the people who own the newspapers want them to go. But there is a level where if you get compelling human stories out there, you can generate stories to support policy. It's not just running the numbers, getting the facts out, but it's really getting human beings out there to who say, great, nobody talked to me, but hey, if you want me to tell my story, I'll be glad to do it.
And what's the website again, Nathan?
It's progressivestates.org.
Nathan Newman, Policy Director for PLAN. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you so much.
Listen, folks, my number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. We are going to take a break in just a minute, but I want to let you know that when we come back, we'll be here to talk about your issues. We'll be able to talk about some of our subjects. I'll be here to take your phone calls and your questions. So join me in just a minute here. We'll be back.
Don't want to go back to that place, but don't have no choice, no way. It ain't easy growing up in World War III. Never know what one love could be. And I've seen, I don't want love to destroy me like it did my family. Can we be a family? Promise I'll be better. Tell me I'll do anything. Can we work it out? Can we be a family?
Start your Saturdays with Temple Time, the radio ministry of the Temple Church of Christ. Elder Clifford Matthews brings a transforming message from the true and living God into your home on the Temple Time broadcast every Saturday morning at 7, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof. But beware, when these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much. Why could you send back the only man she loved?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Well, You want to know where your tax dollars are going? You want to know how and why the rich just keep getting richer? The United States Army has decided to reimburse a Halliburton subsidiary for nearly all of its disputed costs on a $2.4 billion no-bid contract. And this is despite the fact that our good government, the Pentagon, their own auditors had identified more than $250 million in charges that were excessive or unjustified. I just want you to just resonate for a minute, just vibrate for a minute with the idea of a $2.4 billion no-bid contract. That's what they got. The Army said in response to questions that questionable business practices by the subsidiary Kellogg Brown and Root, they've driven up some of the costs. But in the haste and peril of war, it had done as well as could be expected. And aside from a few penalties, the government was compelled to reimburse the company for its costs. Now, let me ask you this. I know you all are not lawyers out there. Not all of you are lawyers. But just for a moment, bear with me. Tell me if you know the answer to this question. Do you think that you would ever get a contract, a no-bid contract, that's said in the contract, the contractor is not required to perform perfectly to be entitled to reimbursement? What do they call that? Great job if you can get it. The Army said that the contractor is not required to perform perfectly in order to get paid. Has your boss ever said that to you? No, you don't have to work perfect. You don't have to do your job perfectly to get paid. Isn't that something? You get a $2.4 billion contract, and you don't have to work perfectly. You don't have to work perfectly. The Pentagon had looked at a $263 million in costs for fuel deliveries, for pipeline repairs, and for other tasks that the auditors said were inflated or unsupported by documentation. But the Army decided to pay all but $10 million of those contested costs. And what that means, want me to crunch the numbers for you? What that means is that just 3.8% of the charges being questioned by the Pentagon weren't paid. 3%. 3%. Now, the question that you should be asking yourself is, well, how have they looked at other contracts in the past? How has the military looked at other contracts? Well, in 2003, the military withheld an average of 66% of what the auditors had recommended. Huh? So normally, they do what the auditors say to. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Representative Henry Waxman, a Democrat, said that Halliburton has gorged the taxpayer, gorged the government, and government auditors caught the company red-handed, and yet the Pentagon ignored the auditors and paid Halliburton hundreds of millions of dollars and a huge bonus. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Or you can get to the website at lizbrown.com, or you can get to whiterosesociety.org, where the show is archived daily. So handle your business. And we are streamed at WGNU.net. Those are my digits. Tend to your business. Just in case you're keeping track, George Bush has 1,056 days left in office. That's 14 hours, 52 minutes, 49, 48, 47 seconds is how long he's going to be in office, absent an impeachment. And now that the winding down is done from Katrina, from Mardi Gras, see how you even connect? You can't even say New Orleans without saying Katrina anymore. But now that we're winding down from the Mardi Gras celebration, it's time to take stock of what's going on in New Orleans. Three quarters of the city is still in ruins. Three quarters of the city still in ruins. Sporadic electricity, postal service, traffic lights, and only the most limited public transportation is available. And yet they had the Mardi Gras. I mean, it's an awful dilemma, isn't it? It's just an awful dilemma. What do you do? This is a town that existed as a result of tourism. And yet, they rely upon the tourist dollar. But yet their city has other needs. So where do you spend the money? On the mothers and fathers that don't have homes, or on the businesses that will draw tourists? Think of all that New Orleans has lost. They've lost the Sugar Bowl. They've lost the Bayou Classic. They've lost the Essence Festival. They've lost virtually all of its convention business. And even healthy businesses that managed to be open for the Mardi Gras won't be able to survive the summer. So they had to have a good Mardi Gras in order to live through the summer. Who's going to be coming to New Orleans in the summertime? A quote from one business owner said that for the first one of the city's fabled nightclubs called the Blue Nile. I've been there. The Blue Nile opened its door for the first time since Katrina on Friday night. "We've got everything on the line," he said. "The bands have all agreed to play without guarantees. We're counting on this weekend's business to generate enough cash to keep us operating." Just think about it. We have an entire city that has been wiped off the face of the map. When you go from 500,000 people down to 168,000, you no longer exist. You're not the same place. And people were making the argument that that Mardi Gras should have been canceled. What an awful situation. Made more awful by our government's inattention. And you have people on the radio in New Orleans saying, "New York didn't cancel the St. Patrick's Day parade after 9/11. But that's not really the same thing. New York City didn't lose 400,000 people as a result of 9/11. New York still had the population. New York still had the money. People, there are not 200,000 children missing. There are not thousands of people whose bodies will never be identified. the city of New York wasn't wiped off the face of the earth with after 9/11. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And what I'm sure many of you didn't know about the Mardi Gras is that the Mardi Gras is unique in that it's not a corporate sponsored event, it's not a municipally sponsored event, but it's a series of parades and a series of balls that are organized by private citizens who are members of various secret societies, or what they call crews, K-R-E-W-E-S. Each organization charges its members annual dues and requires them to commit to buying a minimum amount of beads or other throws. The members keep their identity secret when riding on their cruise floats by wearing masks. Now, the Cruise of the Muse, which rolled on Thursday night, charges $850 in dues and a commitment of $500 worth of throws, ensuring that all the parade goers get a wealth of trinkets. Now, the Muses drew a huge crowd this year, heavily populated with children who were given stuffed animals, flashing beads, and all of that. But the fact of the matter is that they don't think that they made the money that they needed to make. They don't think that they made the money. Huh. And what was interesting also was one of the floats that went down the street, the most dramatic float, they're calling it. They called it the Inferno. And it was Kathleen Blanco, that's the governor, Ray Nagin, that's the mayor, and Michael Brown, you know Brownie. And this float showed them as infernal cooks brewing a giant cauldron of human gumbo in the Superdome as members of Congress forced people into the boiling pot with pitchforks, including a leering George W. Bush, who presided over the whole scene as the horned Satan incarnate. So what was the message that you were trying to deliver with that? That was one of the floats. That was one of the floats. It was called the Inferno. And if that doesn't tell you how angry people in New Orleans are, then you're not paying attention. You feel that? Kathleen Blanco, Ray Nagin, Michael Brown as infernal cooks brewing a giant cauldron of human gumbo in the Superdome as members of Congress force people into the boiling pot with pitchforks and a leering George W. Bush presiding over the whole scene as the horned Satan incarnate. Yeah, happy Mardi Gras to you too. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me. Daddy was a soldier. He taught me about freedom, peace, and all the great things that we take advantage of. Once I fed the look upon their faces as I treated them with respect. This is my Vietnam. I'm at war.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety next Tuesday in the 9:45 time slot.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Do
you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds, I get my credit report and credit score free. I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Hi, I'm Susan Smith Harmon. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Join Susan as she's joined by astronaut Tom Jones, who describes the personal side of being an astronaut, the thrills and dangers involved in spaceflight, and the toll it takes on the family and loved ones of astronauts. Plus, your comments and questions are welcome, as always, on The Susan Smith Harmon Show, Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU and 454-0400 and revolution at LizBrown.com. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, this is Kathy. One comment I wanted to make was, I'm sure that, I wonder why that float was not on TV, on national TV.
Mm.
But I saw this.
If it had just been Catherine Blanco and Ray Nagin, it would have been on national TV. But the fact that it had George Bush, and let's think about that just for a second, Kathy, if I can just take you in a little bit of another direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that. Now, remember those cartoons that they showed of the prophet?
Right.
That was freedom of speech, right?
Right.
They had a right to show those cartoons, right?
Yeah.
Then why didn't you see a picture of George Bush as a Satan incarnate on a float? Oh, apparently there's editing going on, huh?
Yeah. My other comment was, I saw the parade that the protesters in New Orleans were saying, you know, why can't we come back? And you know, down there they had this 100,000 people are accusing the government of genocide, but that wasn't even on TV either. But I wanted to know, is it possible that there could be an investigation? Is anyone investigating the fact that all this charity money was sent to the Gulf area, but the people are saying that they're not getting it? They didn't get the trailers, they didn't get the money.
It's awful. And it's awful.
I know your friend called saying about the investigation or something, but is anyone investigating how the Red Cross and all these charity people supposedly giving money and all those 200,000 children that are missing? Why isn't that being reported in, you know?
It's awful. It is absolutely awful. And, you know, Kathy, I think that that's the best way of putting it. It is a very, very, very hurting thing.
Mm-hmm.
that children in this country are just people to dismiss the loss of these babies.
Yeah, on top of that, you know George Bush don't want these people found because that's a Democratic state voting against him at any cost, you know. Mostly the people down there I know voted Democrat when I was living there, they did. But
all right.
To think that all this is happening.
It's awful.
Thank you for the float.
All right. 45404. See, that's why, because it makes you giggle like that. That's why they didn't show it on TV. Too many folks would have enjoyed that. Hopefully we'll be able to find some pictures of it somewhere on the net today. And 6 months after Katrina, charities have reported that they've dispersed more than $2 billion of the record sums that they raised for the storm victims, leaving less than $1 billion for the monumental task of helping hundreds of thousands of storm victims rebuild their lives. Two-thirds of the $3.7 billion raised by nonprofit organizations and tracked by the Washington Post went to help evacuees and other Katrina victims with immediate needs, cash, food, temporary shelters, medical care, tarps, school supplies for displaced children. What is left will be needed to be stretched over years to rebuild lives, reconstruct the social fabric of the Gulf Coast, from job training to mental health counseling. Here's some of the details of where the money went. The American Red Cross said that it has given out 84% of its Katrina and Rita donations. Yeah, let me check the books. Let me check the books. 50 cents of each donated dollar went out in cash to the victims. 6% of the contributions came in the form of supplies, building materials, food, water, clothing, heavy equipment, mostly donated by corporations. 56% of the remaining donations are controlled by faith-based organizations such as Catholic Charities, USA, Salvation Army, United Methodist Committee on Relief, United Jewish Communities. What remains to be done, just think about this. Just let your mind wrap around this. $200 billion is what the government aid over the long term is going to cost. It's going to cost. And there's $960 million left. And the question is, and one of a million questions is, what does the government pay for? And what do charities pay for? Now, many Gulf Coast residents are eligible for federal assistance, but many others will not qualify. Who's going to pick up the slack on that? You know, who's going to pick up the slack on that? And 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Donations with Katrina reached $1 billion and ultimately rose to $2.8 billion. Four five four oh four hundred is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, well, good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
And I'm so proud of you. And being a 76-year-old man, you don't know how much you mean to me of just explaining things that because of just not knowing how to or not being able to do it, of saying the things that need to be said to the public.
Well, thank you.
You know, I was just listening to... Oh, we still have too many people comparing New Orleans with 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to be a simple moron, I would call it, to put it in any type, like you explained, the buildings that was destroyed in New York and the amount of people. The most fearful part part, and the most sad part was the lives that were lost in 9/11. But we had, I don't think we ever know the count of the lives that were lost.
We will never.
We will never know. And I am so proud of those people, and people who just have experienced it like you and I have are to thank God that they are not the ones who had to experience how proud you are or how strong you are to overcome anybody, survive New Orleans.
That's right.
Oh, my God, they ought to have a silver medal wrapped around them.
Yes, they should.
You know what
Talk
I'm
about
saying?
Your congressional.
I'm so glad that they came on with the Mardi Gras. You know, they're showing their bravery. They're showing their courage. So anybody can't see that. I don't know what to say for them. Leo, you keep up the good work, sweetheart.
Thank you, sir.
A lot of people like me who haven't ever met you. We are so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
And I thank you for your show as well.
Thank you.
You said a lot of things that I need to hear and want to say. What I want to say this morning is I wonder why the government can't trace the money that they spend and the money that's being given to the volunteers, or not the volunteers, but the people, that the organizations is what I'm trying to say, for donations for Katrina. Like they trace our money when we put, when we have to file our taxes, they trace our money back down a penny. If you, you know.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
If they can trace all these people in this country, you know, why can't they trace that money? And whatever happened to that money, that big old, they said they had a big truck load of money in Iraq.
Yeah, they were handing out what they called bricks of $100,000, yes.
Why can't they trace that money? They can trace. You know, they got everybody in the United States, they can trace money, but when it comes to government, they can't come up with every penny that they spend on our money that they spend.
Thank you so much. Listen, folks, this is the end of the show for today. That's all right. We'll start it up again tomorrow. We're going to have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch and much, much, much more. You don't want to miss it. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the same time, in the same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's a major setback for abortion rights supporters. ABC's Steve Taylor with more on a major Supreme Court ruling today.
The question before the court was whether federal laws against racketeering and extortion can be used against sit-ins and demonstrations that block public access.